The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Wednesday, and it is May 1st. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a 13-year-old boy was shot twice in the stomach outside of a 24-hour corner store in Southwest Philadelphia early Wednesday morning. It happened at 12:30 outside of the Island Supermarket at the intersection of Woodland and Island Avenues. Police said the boy parked his bike and was heading into the store when at least 8 shots rang out. Witnesses said the boy ran inside the store and fell to the ground. There were about 15 to 20 people inside of the store at the time, some of whom came to his aid. Police say the boy was bleeding heavily from 2 gunshot wounds to his abdomen. He was taken to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, where he is undergoing surgery and is listed in critical condition. His bike is still sitting outside of the store. So sad. Police are currently reviewing surveillance video from the scene. Anyone with information is asked to contact police. A music teacher from Montgomery County has been charged with sexual contact with a student. Police say 30-year-old Jeremiah Triplett of Dresher also faces multiple charges, including selling liquor to a minor, endangering the welfare of children, and unlawful contact with a minor. Triplett is a music teacher at Archbishop John Carroll High School and a member of the Villanova Singers Legacy Society. He is also accused of providing THC-laced foods to students. In a news release, the district attorney's office said that Triplett vape nicotine products with the juveniles, blowing the smoke into one another's mouths. During these contacts, Triplett also kissed a female victim and grabbed her buttocks, telling her that he couldn't wait until she turned 18. Jeremiah used his position of trust and authority as a teacher to prey on students and endangered their health by providing them THC-infused foods, the district attorney said. The Radnor police request any other possible victims or individuals with additional information to please contact the Radnor Police Department. Triplett is also a highly regarded ninth director at the Villanova Singers at Villanova University. He also sits on the board of music curriculum for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. In a statement late Tuesday, the Archdiocese says that he has been placed on administrative leave pending the outcome of the case. Triplett is expected to be arraigned this morning. The Philadelphia Eagles will have their first male cheerleader at home games this upcoming season. Kyle Tangray was one of the dancers chosen during Tuesday night's final tryouts for the 2019 Eagles cheerleading squad. He's from Rochester, New Hampshire. According to the website, he started dancing at the age of 10. He is currently a student at the University of the Arts. Quentin Perron and Napoleon Ginnies were the first male cheerleaders in the NFL when they joined the Los Angeles Rams squad in 2018. They also became the first to perform at a Super Bowl.
Case, did you see them? So the Rams led with the...
No, and I had heard about this that last year. So, listen, my seats are all the way up top. I pay no attention to the cheerleaders whatsoever. They come out during, in between halves and stuff like that. They're part of the whole touchdown celebration.
You can't even see it, right?
I just don't pay attention. So, I'm not going to pay attention to this guy either.
He's just part of the group. You won't pay attention to.
First time in the NFL, but college football has had male cheerleaders forever.
Yeah,
forever. They had male cheerleaders before they had female cheerleaders.
It's not the first time in the NFL. It's just the first time for the Eagles.
Right. But it's not seen that often. So, Marissa, hang on a second here.
I've been watching the cheerleaders since I was a little girl going to Eagles games, just because that's what I did. But I'll be intrigued if now they'll start like incorporating like stunts and throwing, because the cheerleaders are mostly dancers and they dance of
like regular.
Eddie,
like regular.
Doesn't care.
And they referred to him as a dancer.
Okay.
Well, if you go to the collegiate stuff, they do aerial crazy things.
So they don't do that stuff in the NFL?
No, it's
they're
just dancing.
They're dancing. Yeah. But that's what I was wondering if, because when you do that. That's pretty wild stuff
pretty
to
cool.
watch, and that might be something that is a new way to go.
It's athletically impressive.
Yeah. You guys probably don't remember this, but Marissa, back at the vet, my seats were right in front of the cheerleaders. Oh. I was down low, so I always watched them, and I watched them for years and years and years, and I had a bit of a rant on our show because their moves were... They sucked.
I remember you talking
they
about
that.
They
were old. Yeah. I mean, they had been doing the... It was like... step, 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 clap, step, 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 clap. And it was like, that's what they did. I'm like, dude.
Very basic.
Right. Come on. Like, are you guys not professional dancers? Step, clap, step, step, clap. Like, what?
Who's that little boy who's pissed off at our dancing instead of being turned on?
Well,
you know what, though, Casey? And listen, maybe it was not advanced or anything like that. But even like with the Sixers dancers, they had the same coach for years and years and years. And, you know, maybe not a lot of people are noticing it. But like somebody like you or me, when I watched, like I saw the same stuff. But it's because it comes from the same choreographer.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're watching a routine in the Eagles cheerleaders right now. That ain't basic. They're moving around.
That's really good.
That's their performance. I guess, Casey, on the sidelines.
I'm talking sidelines.
They're
stuff,
probably
yeah.
supposed to keep it basic.
Right.
Because you're supposed to have your attention be on the team.
Yeah.
You know, so... You
supposed
can
to pay
file
attention
grievance,
to the game.
File a grievance with the team.
That was one of the rules as a cheerleader. I was a high school cheerleader. Was you had to pay attention to the game and you had to know what was going on in the game.
Right. Yeah, because what we're watching here is, that was a dance performance. Obviously, where the focus is supposed to be on them, not their step.
Yeah.
All right. In sports this morning.
Sacks are yummy.
The Phillies lost to the Detroit Tigers 3-1 last night at the ballpark. Miguel Cabrera had an RBI single to move into a tie for 68th all-time with 2,705 career hits. The National League East leading Phillies managed just 4 hits while falling to 11-6 at home. Shane Green pitched a scoreless 9th for his 12th save in as many chances. The short series wraps up tonight, and Daniel Norris will get the start for the Tigers. Aaron Nola pitches for the Phillies. The first pitch is set for 7:05. In last night's NBA playoff action, the Boston Celtics lost their first game of the postseason, falling in Game 2 to the Bucks in Milwaukee by a score of 123-102. Game 3 is Friday night in Boston. In the Western Conference, the Houston Rockets lost to the Golden State Warriors in Game 2, 115-109 last night in Oakland, and the Warriors now lead the series 2-0. Game 3 is Saturday night in Houston. The Sixers and the Toronto Raptors continue their series tomorrow night in South Philly with Game 3. The series is tied at 1 game apiece, and tip-off is at 8 o'clock. And in hockey, the Blue Jackets beat the Boston Bruins 2-1 last night in Columbus. The Blue Jackets lead the series 2-1. Out west, the San Jose Sharks beat the Colorado Avalanche 4-2 in Denver. The Sharks lead that series 2-1. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. One of the things we need to do is, today's May 1st. It's a new month.
Oh, my God, that's right.
I have the President Steve Tully office calendar right here in front of me, and we have spent the entire month of April, the last 30 days, enjoying the lovely Maggie, who's a Jersey girl. She is from Sicklerville. She was playing around in the kitchen.
She was in the fridge.
And she was in the fridge, and she had some, you know, strawberries with cream and a little popsicle and stuff like that. Well, after that, we decided to take a trip outside. Oh. And we flip over to the month of May, and our new calendar good is Shay from Williamstown, New Jersey. Shay is also our cover girl on the Totally Office calendar, and Shay has got the face. She is, full-on model.
Full-blown model.
Stunningly gorgeous.
Yeah.
And definitely had some heads turning when we were outside with the photo shoot. She's in front of a motorcycle.
Yeah.
She's in a bikini in the top main shot and in a one piece in the bottom one. And you can check her on Instagram. She is Shay Forbes. It's at Shey Forbes.
And she's super sweet. She's just a really nice person.
She was here not that long ago.
Yeah, remember? She was great. She just came by to visit. It was awesome.
Yep. So
we
welcome Shay. And the next 31 days are yours. So enjoy, and hopefully you have a Totally Office calendar. If you didn't get one this year, well, hey, maybe we'll get you one next year.
And May is one damn fine month to be working outdoors.
That was from
our shoot.
Doing a photo shoot outdoors. Morgan
Freeman.
All right. So we're happy to have that happening. We're happy to go on Fox Good Day today. It's what we do on Wednesday. So we'll join those guys as we get a little bit closer to 8 a.m.
Marissa wants to talk on the microphone.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Marissa.
I'm so sorry. I have a calendar read.
Oh, yeah. I did not even know that.
I didn't know we were doing it.
I know.
Okay. A calendar raid?
Yeah, but our friends at Sterling Pig in Westchester are having a grand opening, and we have a whole bunch of calendar girls coming out and a ton of calendars.
Well, that, beautiful.
So there you go.
Okay, Christmas in July or May.
Once again. When?
Tomorrow night.
What time?
Thursday, 6 p.m., Sterling Pig Brewery in Westchester.
All right. Join Marissa. Come out. And you'll be handing out calendars, right?
Heck yeah. And a couple of girls.
And cool. You know what? Also, each month, Marissa puts up like kind of little question and answer with the girls and some new pictures
this.
And stuff like that.
Yeah.
So look for that, too. I think it goes on the website, and you'll kind of post it on all the social media accounts, too, right?
Yeah. And some pictures of the girls that we haven't seen before.
Yeah. It's in interviews, you know, asking them questions about whatever, anything and everything. So that's cool. Nice. Thank you, Marissa.
Yay.
All right. So...
We also have a secret text word.
Oh, yes, we do.
And it is a chance for you to get some tickets to the Outlaw Music Festival. We were just talking. We were just talking about it yesterday, and Willie Nelson and family, Bonnie Raitt, Government Mule, and more. September 13th at the Man. Tickets are on sale Friday. But if you text the word "secret" to 39333, we'll send a word back to you. Ask. Well, later on, we'll ask you to call in with the word "designated." Call a woman tickets, and we'll also grab a random texter and give them away that way too. We have a couple of comedians on the show today. Two of our favorites. One a good friend of ours. First of all, Lewis Black is going to be on the show. I love him.
He's great.
And
we were just talking about Inside Out yesterday.
Oh, yeah, he's anger.
Yeah.
In Inside Out, and the Jokes on Us tour is going to be headed to the Borgata Music Box. Not till October, so Lewis is getting in well ahead of that to chat about it, so we'll talk to him around 9 o'clock. Then we're going to talk to Vinny Brand. There's a story, I'm going to get to it in our next segment in the Entertainment Report,
yeah,
about a run-in with Vinny and Pete Davidson, and it got a little messy. And not physically, but no. Words were exchanged, and a show was canceled or bailed on. And we're going to get Vinny's take on the whole thing, but I'll give you the details coming up in just a little bit. But it concerns Pete Davidson, and Vinny's been doing this forever, by the way.
Yeah.
He's a pro. He knows
absolutely
what he's doing. And to hear this happen was very surprising. So I want to hear Vinny's side of it, and we'll do that in the 9 o'clock hour as well. So these things and more are coming up. We're taking a break right now. We're coming back in a moment. Stupid Question, Entertainment Report, that is up next. Hang with us today. We're going to have a good time on the way into work.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So for the stupid question, we're giving away an Avengers Endgame prize pack.
Saw the movie last night.
Hey!
I loved it.
And we'll also have some goodies. Along with that, we'll get you in to see the movie if you haven't seen it yet, or if you've seen it, go see it again. And also the Franklin Institute, their Marvel Legacy event that they have going on. It's called Marvel Universe of Superheroes. So we'll give tickets to that, too. The question I have for you this morning, in the English edition of Scrabble, how much is the Q worth? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer, all right? So in the English version of Scrabble...
Casey looks like he's pondering, yes.
He's smirking.
Well, no, you know...
What's Q worth?
Well, I know what it's worth in Words of Friends, but Scrabble's completely different. All right. I want to say...
Jotting down?
Nope, that's not it. 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Casey, you know the answer. I love playing Scrabble. I can never find anybody to play with. I'm only okay at it, but I like to play it.
See, I wish I did. I hate all those games.
I know you do.
I think it's a combination of short attention and being stupid. So I think really those, both those things work against me.
You have a vocabulary in you, sir.
But I'm dumb.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have the vocabulary.
And you're great at it.
I have the strategy.
All right. So today, by the way, is Wednesday, May 1st. Birthdays include Emilia Clarke, Daenerys Targaryen, Daenerys Stormborn, the Breaker of Chains, the Mother of Dragons, the true heir to the Iron Throne, and all the other things.
The Sonny of Cher.
The Sonny of Cher, she's called. On Game of Thrones.
The Muckety Muck character?
One of the.
Okay.
One of the. She's definitely one of the most watched, for sure.
Correct me if I'm wrong, again, just operating from my removed viewing of Game of Thrones here. So did she have an arc where she was not much and became a lot?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, most definitely. And I tell you what, so she was in Solo, A Star Wars Story.
She's great.
I watched almost that entire movie before I realized that was her.
Really?
Yeah, because I watched it on TV, and I didn't read too much into it. I wasn't really super-duper anticipating that. And I'm like, that girl looks familiar. But I'm so used to the blonde hair and all of that. And towards the end of it, I'm like, oh, my God, that's Khaleesi.
I'll tell you what, that performance in Rogue One, to me, that's up in Empire Strikes Back territory.
No, she was in Solo.
I mean, Solo. Yeah, yeah. Yes, yeah.
So she is 32 today. Then you have another actor, James Badge Dale. Had to look him up.
I like that guy, yeah.
Saw that he was in Iron Man 3, and he's like one of the bad guys. He's the henchman. Remember?
Short hair.
Yeah, short hair.
He's also in 13 Hours at Benghazi.
He's called 13 Hours.
Yeah, yeah.
He's also a child actor. He wasn't the kid from Lord of the Flies, was he?
Was he?
I didn't look up his... Something like that.
He goes back to, like, you would remember him from a movie from when he was, like, 12 years old.
He's one of these guys, so Preston, who's very versatile. He can and when he plays a bastard, he plays a real son of a bitch.
Yeah, he was in Lord of the Flies in 1990. Yeah, he was also in The Departed, one of your all-time favorite movies, and World War Z. He's 41 today. Jamie Dornan, who played Christian Grey, 50 Shades of all those Greys.
I cast him as you in the MMR movie.
That was very kind of you, sir.
Well, listen,
I love you, man. Thanks, brother. Love you, too. He is 37 today.
Wait, did you say all the 50 Shades?
Wasn't he?
But it, yes.
he was Christian Grey. There were three movies.
Oh, I didn't realize that there were three.
Yeah, yeah. There were three books.
There was the original. There was Grey Strikes Back and Return of the Grey.
No, there wasn't.
Okay, there's three. Because I watched the first one, and I know it didn't really get great reviews. I actually kind of liked it.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that there were two others. All right, now I have to find them.
I never saw it. So, yes, three of those movies, and he is 37.
And then Solo.
Solo, a great story.
Wes Anderson, if you're a fan, man, do you love that guy.
Yeah.
I'm so-so on him, but he did do a lot of great movies, Rushmore, The Royal Tenenbaums. I haven't seen Grand Budapest Hotel. You guys told me I'd like
it. I really
that.
Like it. Yeah. But you're exactly right, Preston, in your assessment. You made it a while ago. It's that you have to be in the mood.
Right. He's 50 today. Darcy Redsky, former bassist of Smashing Pumpkins, couldn't get it together to have a full reunion of all those original members, unfortunately.
I don't know. Whatever the case is, of course, there's two different factions saying two different things. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why you couldn't just put that aside and go with where the money is.
She's 51. Judy Collins, the folk singer-songwriter, is 80 today.
The focus of Sweet Judy Blue Eyes?
I believe you're right.
Yeah.
And Rita Coolidge, another great singer-songwriter. She's 74 years old.
She also sang a Bond theme song.
Did she? Which one?
I forget the name of it, but she's... She sang one. That's always an honor.
Tim McGraw, singer, actor, son of Tug. It sounds like Game of Thrones.
Yes.
I am Tim, son of Tug. They reconciled. They had a non-relationship for a long, long, long time.
And just in time. Well, so, I wouldn't say just in time, but it's so good that they were able to do that because, you know, he passed early. Yeah. Then, you know, how horrible it would have been had they not done that. He had to live with that.
Yeah. It's crazy that he was, you know, was growing up not knowing his dad.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like that whole, like, it's like a childhood fantasy. Like, my dad is a Major League Baseball player.
And he is.
Yeah. And he actually is.
You know what brought it around? He became more famous than his dad ever was. So, yeah. I mean, obviously, Tug was a huge star here.
Yeah.
And nationally, people knew him. But Tim McGraw became a huge country sensation. And a great actor.
He's
really good.
The Blind Side.
He celebrates his 52nd birthday today. And then Ray Parker Jr.
Wow.
Songwriter, producer, musician, Ghostbuster.
Defendant. Huey Lewis sued him for stealing the Ghostbusters
theme. I've never noticed that, but I want a new drug, and the Ghostbusters theme are pretty much the same song.
And what did them all in was basically a letter from the company saying, we want a song that sounds like this.
Wow. Yeah, and this is a one new drug. I love this song, man.
Me too.
It's still one of my favorites.
Yeah, Huey Lewis has more lasting power than Ray Parker Jr. But Ray Parker Jr. is making royalties off of commercials on MMR right now. We're playing those Walmart commercials.
That's right.
And they use the Ghostbusters theme.
Nick, I wonder who actually gets post-lawsuit.
You know what?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I wonder who's actually getting them.
They're probably both making some money.
But listen to the comparison.
I'd like to think so.
Listen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty similar. All right, so Ray Parker Jr. is 65 today. Let's see if we can get an answer to a stupid question. In the English version of Scrabble, what is the Q worth? 215-263-WMMR. Let's go to somebody named Cyrus. Hey, Cyrus.
Good morning, folks. How are you?
Doing good, man. So can you tell me what the Q is worth in Scrabble?
I believe it's 10 points.
10 points. That's correct. Hang on.
Is Q one of the more...
Q and Z.
Point? Okay,
Q,
I would
Z
imagine.
And J, actually.
Right. J is an 8.
In
American Scrabble.
I'm pretty sure. Well, so that's where I got confused. Then I go back to the freaking Words of Friends, because... Yeah. They're all worth 10. X is worth 8.
So Cinch got that right. Yeah, I'm not sure what X is worth, though, in Scrabble. Nick's looking it up right now. Here we go. 10 points, Q and Z. Eight Q. Points is J and X.
Yeah. Q.
So there you go. And then K is 5. And then you head down the ladder. All right. So we are going to give Cyrus an Avengers Endgame prize pack, including a pair of Admit One Fandango tickets to see the film, Lunchbox T-shirt, sunglasses, more, plus a pair of tickets to see Marvel, Universe of Superheroes. Now open to the Franklin Institute. Explore Marvel's legacy through immersive set pieces, original artwork, movie props, costumes, and more. An exhibit of for the hero and all of us. You can get tickets today at fi.edu. Got a bunch of stuff. Let's start with this. Fox's hit show Empire has been renewed for a 6th season. However, no plans of Jesse Smollett returning. According to TMZ, Fox issued a statement saying, by mutual agreement, studios negotiated an extension to Jesse Smollett's option for season 6. But at this time, there are no plans for the character of Jamal to return to Empire.
So they're sort of like keeping him on retainer.
Yeah, it sounds like
that. Not officially firing him. I think also because they just did this big show of support and solidarity. So it would look kind of dumb if they just did all that and then fired him.
Yeah, a spokesperson for the actor has responded to the statement saying, we've been told that Jesse will not be on Empire in the beginning of the season, but he appreciates they have extended his contract to keep Jamal's future open. Most importantly, he's grateful to Fox and Empire leadership, cast, crew, and fans for their unwavering support.
He's going to come back as a character called, is it Lamal, who's saying Neverending Story? Who's saying?
Yeah, that was Lamal.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that. They're going to key off of that?
Yeah, they figure that's the way to bring him back in.
Wow. Okay, so they're hanging on to him, but not putting him in the show.
No. We want you, but we do not want you here.
Okay, so here is what I was alluding to about our buddy Vinny Brand, who's going to be on the show a little bit after 9 o'clock. Pete Davidson has had a bit of a year between breaking off an engagement with Ariana Grande and splitting up with Kate Beckinsale recently. So after Vinny Brand, of course, who owns the Stress Factory Comedy Club in Bridgeport, Connecticut. So after Vinny had, I guess, talked about his exes, about Pete Davidson's exes, Ariana and Kate, on stage, Pete ended up leaving before performing his schedule.
Right.
Now, Page Six reports that Davidson was miffed because he asked Brand to not go on stage, but that he did anyway, and then made a sarcastic request that no one in the audience ask Davidson about Grande and Davidson. And Davidson took to Instagram stories to apologize. We have the audio, I think.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
All right, let's hit that. Let's play the Instagram video. Here we go.
Hey, guys, in Connecticut. I'm sorry that we had to leave the show before I got to go on. The owner, Vinny Brand, disrespected me and did something that I told him not to do. And I can't, you know, perform under those circumstances. However, everybody who got tickets to that show, I am doing a free show for you guys. We'll figure out where it's going to be in the next week, and we'll get it all sorted out. Sorry again. This is not your fault. Later.
Okay. Wow. So, yeah. And then Vinny went up on stage, went off on a rant, because he played that video for the audience on their monitors there. And he goes on about, he said that he said on stage what his security, what Pete Davidson's security rep told him to say.
To sort of prep the crowd.
So it sounds like a misunderstanding to me. And these guys probably didn't talk to each other and work this out and figure out where the information went wrong. And then it turned into this.
You know, Vinny doesn't, you know, he doesn't.
He doesn't take any crap.
No.
Vinny doesn't care.
But there are, if you read through some of the messages, some of the people in the audience are saying that Vinny came out very sarcastically and they thought that he was being rude. But then Vinny says, he was so confused by it all that he just thought, okay, I'm going to go out. I'm going to do what you told me.
Yeah.
And he couldn't understand it. So,
okay. Here's a clip of him on stage.
I can't, you know, perform under those circumstances.
That's him playing back the audio.
You, Pete!
Oh, and that's a guy yelling F you, Pete, in the crowd, by the way. Let me back that up. Here we go.
Perform under those circumstances. You, Pete! Everybody who got tickets to the show, I'm doing a free show for you guys. Figure out where it's going to be in the next week. And, you know, we'll get it all sorted out. Sorry again. This is not your fault.
All right, and then Vinny grabs the mic.
All right, get your face up. Get him up. And let me know when you're live, and I'll do it right now.
Let's go.
Hey, this is a message for all my patrons here at the Stress Factory, okay? On no way in the world would I ever disrespect any comedian. And if
you look at the walls of the Search Factory, you will see bona fide superstars that have worked for us for years. D.L. Hughley, John Leguizamo, Andrew Dice Clay, Chris Rock, the names go on and on and on. And Pete Davidson, I didn't disrespect you. Your security guy told me to say what I said. And if you got a bad security guy, you should have fired your goddamn security guy. You should have fired everybody here. When you were a young comic, you came, you hung out at my club in New Brunswick, and we treated you well. When you were having trouble last year, I texted you multiple times. Pete, if you need to talk to anybody, reach out. I tried so hard. And I went back in that room, and I asked you what you wanted. And you did not. You were not disrespected, but you disrespected.
Okay, so so we'll get the story from Vinny later on this morning.
And you know, Vinny is the kind of guy who would reach out to somebody, you know, when Pete was going through his stuff. Yeah. But well, we'll find out directly.
He said that they were friends. Like, he said this person was a friend of mine.
When Davidson was starting out, he was going and working. Because that's why at that particular club, because Vinny is a comedian, comedians will go out and try out material.
Yep.
And before they take it out on the
road. They want to get out of the city and but still stay close. But
exactly.
I wouldn't cross Vinny. I mean, we saw what happens to you
if
you cross Vinny or maybe hit him over the head with a pillow when he's not expecting it.
It was one of the funniest things. We had a pillow fight in the studio, and who was the...
It was like strippers or something.
Yeah, and somebody, the one girl... Sort of sucker punched pillow hit him.
Uh-huh.
And Benny's like, whoa. And wham!
He said he thought it was going to be like a little cutesy, like, oh, we're pillow fighting. And then he said the girl hit him. And he was like, oh, no.
No. Oh, and he started slipping swings and bobbing and weaving and counter hitting. And he took him out.
Yeah,
it was hilarious. So, you know, it sounds like words were not communicated properly, and somebody got the wrong idea, and now it's all this. So we'll talk to Vinny later.
If you missed the video, it's up on PrestonandSteve.com if you want to watch the...
the pillow fight?
No. Well, I'll see if I can find that, actually.
That's all right.
But the video of Vinny up on stage.
Okay. A few other things. Let's talk royals. Speculation around Meghan Markle and Prince Harry's chosen royal baby name.
Oh, my God.
Have reached such a fever pitch that Buckingham Palace was forced to weigh in. In recent weeks, the names Elizabeth and Diana, of course, for the Queen and Harry's mother, Princess, have topped wedding lists, but...
You saw it made the list, didn't you?
No.
Roast beef.
All the rage.
For a girl?
But a recent glitch in the official website for the British royal family has revealed other potential names. According to reports, fans who have been eager to crack the case... have been devoting time to typing in male names on the royal URL address and have noted that Prince-Arthur, Prince-Alexander, or Prince-James, after typing in royal.uk, will send the user back to the original homepage. Other names like Rupert and Donald.
Oh, don't make it Rupert.
No, they send users to a page not found.
All right.
So those are not going to happen. But maybe Arthur, Alexander, or James. Arthur's a good name. We have King Arthur, you know.
Of course. Love that. That'd be awesome to have that. Something with the little gravitas.
Steve, how about Utha?
Utha.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be awesome for us Excalibur fans?
A large number of search terms redirects were set up some time ago on royal.uk. This was...
How about Donnie?
To improve user experience, a palace spokesperson told NBC, noting that other names... preceded by prince or princess will produce the same results. So,
and isn't this always, by the way, any of these naming things always in some way tie into paying respect to some part of the family?
Yeah.
So that's how we ended up with Louis, right?
I believe so, yeah. All right, moving on. About a year after announcing their partnership, the former first couple, the Obamas, and Netflix have announced their first slate of projects, and they are set to drop in the coming years. No word yet on which will arrive first. Via their production company called Higher Ground, Michelle and Barack Obama plan to harness the power of storytelling, President Obama said in a statement. Now, he continued saying that's why we couldn't be more excited about these projects, touching on issues of race and class, democracy and civil rights, and much more. We believe each of these productions won't just entertain, but will educate, connect, and inspire us all. So coming to Netflix, here are some of the titles. American Factory, snagged from this year's Sundance Film Festival, where it won for Best Director. Looks like a post-industrial Ohio. Bloom, a scripted series set in New York City, described as an upstairs-downstairs drama in the world of fashion after World War II, which will show the struggles of women and people of color faced. An untitled Frederick Douglass movie is going to be coming out.
From Sanford and Son, Casey.
Thought that was Red Fox, a picture of similar, you know, features with the beard and the hair and everything, but not the same guy.
Listen, I'm ignorant, and I had never
You made a mistake.
Yeah.
Sorry. Overlooked, a scripted anthology series. It is an adaptation of the New York Times ongoing obituary column of the same name. That sounds interesting.
That is wild.
Called Overlooked. Huh. There's a kids show called Listen to Your Vegetables and Eat Your Parents.
Yeah, man. Sounds erotic.
Fifth Risk is a nonfiction series looking at work by everyday heroes who guide our government. It's based on Michael Lewis's book, The Fifth Risk, Undoing Democracy. And then a feature-length documentary called Crip Camp, about a camp for disabled teens in the 1970s.
There's still one other. There's Don't Mess with the Zohan 2.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Finally have a sequel.
Oh, thank God.
That.
Yeah, it's really, at the top of the list, Don't Mess with the Zohan 2.
I had no idea. Let's see. How about, I have a bunch of things here. I'm going to have to do some trimming along
the
way. Listen,
the journalist, in I see it. I see it kick in, and you start editing on the fly.
These are tough decisions.
I just step back in awe.
How about this? This is sad news. Of a woman who is trying to save her pets. She's a Brazilian model. I'm not familiar with her. Caroline Bittencourt, 37 years old. She died after trying to save her dogs from drowning at a Sao Paulo beach. She jumped off a catamaran to attempt to rescue her dogs who had fallen off a boat. Her husband, Jorge Sestini, had jumped in the ocean to attempt to rescue her. He was rescued. But she didn't make it. And I assume the dogs didn't make it either. Jeez. I don't really know. So I don't know if they were on this boat alone, how far off the shore they were.
Those are exactly the questions I have. Was it a storm situation? Was there a squall?
Yeah.
You know, and also in a case like that, if they're the only two people on the boat, she jumps off and then he jumps off.
Yeah, you don't jump.
You don't do that.
Was it just those two and their dogs?
That's what we figure out. Yeah.
No, yeah. Okay. If it is just those two and their dogs, I think it's a little shady.
You think it's shady?
Yeah.
You think it's Natalie Wood territory?
Possibly. Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Do you think it's Natalie Wood that did it?
Didn't even consider that. Maybe she's still alive.
She was raised by Aquaman's family.
A ravenous murderer. Anyhow, thought that was an odd little story. Just in case you're wondering, Kylie Jenner is ready to have another baby with Travis Scott. In a birthday Instagram post, she wrote alongside a collage of photos, watching you evolve into the partner, friend, son, and father you are today has been so fulfilling.
It just makes you want to throw up.
My real life bestie.
My bestie.
And hubby all wrapped into one.
Wait, you're married?
I love you. And I am so proud of you.
No,
happy birthday. I don't know. Are they married?
I don't think they're married.
Maybe they just call each other husband
maybe,
and wife.
Maybe that's you're not allowed to do that because you're not married. And so
maybe they had a Quaker wedding, Preston.
And then she wrote, let's F around and have another baby.
Oh, naughty.
Okay. So they have Stormy together. And
you saw what she got him for his birthday, right?
No.
$280,000 Lamborghini.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's chump change.
Yeah.
My birthday's in July if you guys want to get me one.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Did Kendall and Ben break up?
Haven't heard a lot about them.
Haven't seen her in a game.
Good question.
Yeah, she hasn't been in a while. And
she had been seen around town with Wallace Shawn.
Oh, well, he's short and attractive. But they haven't like made any announcements or anything like that.
No.
And she hasn't been in any of the playoff games thus far.
Because she was frequently, right?
Yeah.
She was there quite a bit. In fact, at one game, they were wearing like matching sneakers.
Yeah.
Which was weird.
That was a little odd.
All right. So did you ever, in any of your dating years, succumb to the matching clothing?
My wife and
matching shirts?
On Friday night, we're literally wearing matching coats.
On
matching,
purpose?
Well,
no, I'm saying when you're on, you go to, let's go to the mall and wear, you know,
no,
with fingers pointing at each other on the shirts.
No.
I'm with her. I'm with him.
That's when you break up.
No, I've never done that.
Yeah.
No. Can't think of Rochelle and I wearing anything that either.
There's just no way.
I mean, we've been at like a 5K where we got the shirt that everybody gets.
Yeah,
and we're all wearing the same thing.
Or like a Halloween costume.
Yeah, right.
But like the prom thing doesn't count, right? Because like, you're supposed to wear a tie and cummerbund.
Well, you just go out to do your cutesy relationship deal, and you're
let's go to the farmer's market.
let's wear farmer's hat. Mm-hmm. Let's wear bib overalls.
No, never did that. Hey, the Hollywood Reporter is drawing back the curtain on salary negotiations between Robert Downey Jr. and the powers that be behind Avengers Infinity War. That's what it says, Infinity War. I don't know why it's not Endgame. But Downey, considered the face of the franchise, has negotiated a unique arrangement with studio chief Kevin Feige. Basically, he has snagged back end, meaning that he will earn $75 million on Infinity War alone.
Of course. Why wouldn't you take points on those movies? It's guaranteed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
I guarantee you Chris Evans has a similar deal.
In lieu of a salary?
Well,
why
yes.
Why not? I'm sure they'll have something up front.
Yeah,
but
chump change, and then I'll take points.
That's where the real cash is. So he's doing okay.
Oh, so you want to talk about, his career, his career was on the skids,
yep.
And then it started to come back around. Actually, Mel Gibson was instrumental when Mel Gibson had the ability to do that, bring his career back around.
Yeah.
With that first Iron Man, and when it took off, his entire stock and cred in Hollywood hit the stratosphere.
I went to, it would have been 1996, I went to a Saturday Night Live taping, and Robert Downey Jr. was the host. And it was at that time when his career was in the toilet.
Right.
And he was just starting to crawl up out of there.
Right.
And in fact, in his opening monologue, he goes, hey, I have some pictures from my vacation. And it was like of a car accident. and all this stuff. Because he had some run-ins with drugs. Yeah. All kinds of, he was messing up big time. And this was at the very beginning of him starting to dust all that off and try to start a new life. And it was a fun episode. I didn't really, it didn't blow me away. But I never in my mind at that time did I think, wow, this guy's going to be the star that he ended up being.
And stop and think about it. So having seen Endgame last night, not for one second in all of these Marvel movies has he ever phoned in the performance.
No.
It's always been amazing.
Yep. So that was 96, Preston, that you saw? So in April of 1996, Downey was arrested for possession of heroin, cocaine, and an unloaded .357 Magnum while he was speeding down Sunset Boulevard in L.A.
Yeah, and I saw him. I remember it was wintertime. It was cold, so it would have been later in that year after he had, started to try to get it together. And I don't think he had any run-ins after that.
No.
Not as far as I recall.
Not really. I mean, a little bit here and there. He missed a required drug test, but he also credits
his Mandarin.
Wife. The Mandarin wasn't that good. But he credits his wife for helping him to turn his life around.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Well, he's amazing.
Yeah. Has there ever been any talks of, was there ever anybody else that was in talks to be Iron Man?
I'm sure there was, but Jon Favreau has said he pretty early on settled. It just seemed to be the perfect casting. And he's right. In so many ways, so much of their casting has been brilliant. And and that's why it's so good.
Yep. What else I have here for you? Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star Lisa Rinna is striking a pose with her model daughters, Delilah Bell Hamlin, who is 20, and Amelia Gray Hamlin, who is 17, and then her mother, Lois Rinna. I have not seen the pictures yet. She's 90.
They're a fine-looking group of women. I think Lisa Rinna has dropped the PSI on her lips a little bit.
She did, I remember, and then they blew back up for a little while.
Oh, was this because she was at a different altitude?
Maybe, the pressure was lower, and they expanded. But I remember when she said, wow, I made a mistake, and she dropped and pulled it back, and then I remember like a year or so later seeing new pictures and they have plumped up again. I'm like, come on.
Well, maybe she just doesn't care. Like, she is a person that just does whatever the heck she wants.
You remember the last time we saw her? She was dancing on a table at the Real Housewives thing. And Preston, when you do that and consistently do that, do your lips then become stretched out?
They get screwed up.
Do you develop like a face labia?
Maybe.
Sometimes they'll droop and they'll get like, they kind of get like disformed.
Yeah.
Disformed, is that a word?
Something like that. Deformed.
Disformed.
Right? I tell you what, she takes care of the rest of her body really well. She's in phenomenal shape.
That's Harry Hamlin's work.
They did this picture for a luxury vintage retailer called What Comes Around Goes Around.
Ooh.
For their new Mother's Day campaign. So
is that her version of Goop?
Maybe. No, I don't think it's hers.
Oh, all right.
I think they're
Look at the 90s. Is the mother's in her 90s?
Yeah.
She looks good.
She does look good.
Lisa's here a lot. She does a lot of work at QVC. And I was on a plane with her back when she was flying back to L.A. last year, and Harry went to her husband, Harry Hamlin, went to the Hill School.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He did.
Okay. All right, just a couple more quick things, and then we got to wrap this up. Let's go with this. Yeah, the Ted Bundy film, Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile, is landing on Netflix Friday. Very interested in seeing that.
So am I.
Lily Collins, who plays Bundy's girlfriend, Elizabeth Clopper, says that she met her in real life to prep for the performance, and she told the UK's This Morning, I went to meet I met the woman that I play, and it was really helpful. He said she was so gracious, giving me material to look at and speaking to me. I don't know if she's going to see the movie because it's difficult, but within the filming process, she came on set and she was a positive light on set. You wouldn't expect that with what had happened, and she gave us her support. She is really lovely. So that comes out on Friday.
So they basically were having a normal life while Bundy's out. Yes, you know, we had one of the survivors on talking about the brutality of his murders.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about the ultimate double life.
Yep. And then one last story. The third episode of the final season of HBO's Game of Thrones boasted a near record viewership. The Miguel Sapochnik directed The Long Night is the longest episode so far at 82 minutes and snagged 12.02 million viewers. That's in the U.S. And the all-time high for Game of Thrones viewership was 12.07. So it came in. That was just at the season 7 finale. But I think worldwide it did over a billion. And, you know, it was...
I wonder how many countries Game of Thrones is seen in.
Yeah, tons. All right, so let's get to clips. I got mystery clips. No, here they
are. I would have liked mystery clips.
So from the perspective of Ted Bundy's longtime girlfriend... Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile, which we were just talking about, chronicles the crimes of the true story. And in this clip, Zac Efron discusses his initial hesitation of playing a murderer.
The last thing I wanted was to do something that seemed like a desperate move to not be Troy Bolton anymore. And I didn't want to make a movie that was like running around, glorifying a killer, hacking, slashing. That's not really my thing. But this is much more interesting and goes into the psyche of really two very interesting people, and it's very personal and honest.
What the f***?
Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile begins streaming on Netflix Friday, like I said.
Troy Bolton?
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
And that's not his character in the High School Musical.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It says right here. Marissa, put it in here. Troy Bolton is Zach's 2016 High School Musical character. So there you go.
There we go. Wow, look at me knowing that.
Clip. The Goldberg spinoff, Schooled, follows the faculty of William Penn Academy in the 1990s as they remain heroes to their students despite their crazy personal lives. In this clip, A.J. Michalka, or Michalka, I'm not sure how to pronounce, reveals why the musical numbers are her favorite scenes to shoot. Here we go.
I get really pumped. I always know that those are going to be our Friday scenes because usually those big numbers are like saving for the last day, shoot as long as you can. But I also know it's going to be our time to like really have fun because it's usually 10 of us cast members and it's always a song that I love.
I want to see you naked.
I love her.
So does Callan sing in these musical numbers?
Oh, yeah. They've done great stuff like that. I wish we had him on because they did one sort of tribute to The Phantom Menace, you know, when that came out. So... pop culture, they're just touching to everything that we've been about for years.
Yeah.
And they had him in full Darth Maul makeup.
Oh, no.
So cool.
That's great. A new episode of Schooled airs tonight, ABC 8:30. And it says here, bonus, AJ and her sister, Allie, will be playing the TLA on May 21st. We got to get her.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So they're actually really good. So she, you know, her and Haley. Oh, how do we find out?
Orantia.
Yeah.
Oh, she's great.
Super talented.
And a really good singer. All right. There you go. Your entertainment report. Can you handle it? Can you handle all of that entertainment?
It's unbelievable.
It's just, you
know. How did you distill that down?
You know, we better take a break so you can take a moment
and
just process
it's
all
like,
of
it. It's like when I saw Endgame.
I know. We're gonna take a break. We'll be back in a minute. Vinny Brand will be on the show. Lewis Black will be on the program, too. And we have a secret text word, chance for you to win tickets for the Outlaw Music Festival, which is coming to the Man September 13th. So text the word secret to 39333. We'll be back in just a moment.
Here comes the MM Army.
What's going on?
Join Marissa Magnata and the MM Army Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. at the brand new Sterling Pig Public House, 113 West Market Street in Westchester. It's a Preston and Steve totally office calendar read with 2019 calendar girls Julie and LC and free calendar. Hang with the MM Army and Bud Light Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. at Jersey's, 2609 Mount Carmel Avenue, Glenside, PA, for an MM Barbecue 2019 ticket read. Win tickets every 10 minutes and enjoy Bud Light specials. MMR's Big Friggin' Deal. Get two general admission, non-dated daily tickets to Sahara Sam's Oasis for just $35. Enjoy New Jersey's largest indoor water park, available through Sunday while supplies last at WMMR.com, keyword deal.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
Real quick, I want to do a shout out to a couple who just had a baby.
Oh!
This is to Gene and Kate Stricker. Gene, I know he's the superintendent at the 1912 Country Club. Used to be Plymouth Meeting Country Club. And happy that they had a baby boy named Chase. So here is a shout out for you guys.
Little baby shark.
Get used to that sound, by the way.
Yeah, right.
Both of those sounds.
Hey, and speaking of that golf club, we're having our golf outing at the 1912 Club. It's on May 20th.
I remember you telling me that, yeah.
It's a Monday. You can go to freshsmiles.org for more information about it.
And I won't be able to play. My shoulder's bad, so I can't. I got to wait until... when can I play? By the beginning of June.
Can you caddy?
I'm not going to do that.
Can you drink?
That I can
do. Oh, you should just come and have a drink.
I should probably do that. You're right. Speaking of drinking and eating, we have not heard from the connoisseur in a while.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, he's back with a cultivated palate and all the information you need about the food you love to eat.
A cultivated palate.
He is the connoisseur.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'll start where all connoisseurs do, with fast food.
Have you noticed how much we focus on food?
That's why we started doing the connoisseur.
You can't help it.
I know.
Listen, we poop and we eat.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. First the poop. First the eat, then the poop.
Yeah. Well, maybe you guys saw this. The vegan Whopper from Burger King is going national. Earlier this month, the fast food joint tested out the Impossible Whopper in and around the St. Louis area, and things went well.
It was a hit?
Yeah, now Burger King has announced that the plant-based burger will be available nationwide by the end of the year.
I have to take a crack at that, because I'm a big fan of the Impossible Burger.
I do like it.
And, by the way, if you do get an Impossible Burger in any form, it's always best to get it with the accompanying lettuce and onions and tomatoes and get the full compliment, because the patty itself... If you were to eat it, you would. It's burger-ish, but it's more burger-like when you have all the accoutrement.
I agree. And you know what? It doesn't taste exactly like beef.
No,
but whatever that flavor is,
it's a good taste.
I like it a lot.
I agree. Sometimes they'll do like, and we talked about this before. They'll do. It's a veggie burger, and it's a lot of black beans and so on and so forth, and some of them can taste good in their own versions.
Right.
This actually starts to get on the track towards being a burger taste.
How much of this is targeted towards ethical reasons versus nutrition? Because I know that red meat is reading... I've been going through some fitness stuff the past few months, and reading, you know, like red meat is less preferred over things like fish... And white meat or, you know, chicken and so forth for health reasons.
So it's funny because I was talking to Dave McGrogan.
But I still love steaks, you know.
Harvest, and they introduced the Impossible Burger a little while ago. And he says that the Impossible Burger does not really, like for people who are vegetarians and vegans, it's not the hot item. It's for people who are looking to start to, I'm gonna try to eat. You know, or start to not eat as many animal products.
Okay.
So on that level, that's where it works. So I think and maybe that'll be the case of Burger King. Maybe it'll be more of a case of people just sampling and trying it on that way, you know, or instead of bringing in vegetarians to Burger King.
Marissa?
Yeah, I notice it is marketed more towards meat eaters. I'm very excited for this because, true story, I stopped by Burger King on the way home from Parks last week.
Did you have a double Whopper?
No. I thought that they had the Impossible Burger already, and I'm never driving by a Burger King, and I got really excited. Because when they release these stories,
right,
you never say, like, oh, it's starting now. You just think, right, like, the story's out and whatever. But it is Vegan Restaurant Week in the city.
Oh,
so this is perfect news for this week.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, cows are pretty terrible for the environment. They are big.
They fart a lot.
And, you know, they take up a lot of space. So I think that if you're looking for environmental reasons, you know, this is a good way to go. But, man, do I love a good burger.
I'm telling
you. And do I love to pet cows. Yeah. They're adorable.
Oh, they are.
They're adorable.
They are. Yeah. You're so cute.
They just look at you like, oh, my cow.
All right, so anyhow, the change comes as other food chains like Taco Bell and Chipotle experiment with vegan offerings as well, but they're going with the Impossible Burger, the Impossible Whopper, I guess.
Interesting.
Yeah. Which, I'll give it a shot. Why not? Let's see what else I got. I have other things.
More from the...
I have actually several. What?
What's your name again?
The Connoisseur.
More for the Connoisseur.
Yes. So our friends at Dunkin' Donuts, here's another healthy option for you. Dunkin', I'm sorry.
The Impossible Donut?
Dunkin' is not having the Impossible Donut, but they are going to have healthier options available. They have added some breakfast stuff that that will be a little bit healthier for you. The Egg White Bowl is made with egg white, spinach, roasted potatoes, cheddar cheese, and caramelized onions.
So the whole bowl is made out of eggs?
No, this is what's inside the bowl.
Of course.
While the sauce, they take, Steve, they take like a velociraptor egg and they hollow it out.
Where'd you get
this
egg?
Your bowl. God, this thing's huge.
Nature finds a way.
Yeah. So the sausage scramble bowl is made with scrambled eggs, sausage, cheddar jack, cheese, peppers, and onions.
Oh, I love cheddar
jack. Very sausages.
Right there in the bowl.
The first one has 14 grams of protein and 250 calories. That's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
While the latter has 20, this is the sausage bowl, has 21 grams of protein, but that's going to clock in at 450 calories.
They have a sandwich that I like there that it seems, and I never really looked up the nutritional value of it, but it seems, just by the way, it's titled that it's...
The donut sandwich?
No, it's not a donut sandwich. That it's somewhat healthy. It's like, I think it's like the power sandwich or something. I can't remember.
Okay.
But it's like not a flatbread, but like a thin crust, multigrain, and then it's a...
I know what you're talking about.
Egg white.
Are they keeping those? Because they're revamping the whole menu, and I know that some of this new stuff is
part
of that.
I hope so, because I like it. I like it a lot.
I like it that.
Whenever
I
eat egg whites, I'm hungry 13 seconds later.
Both options are available for a limited time at most Dunkin's nationwide. So you guys want to talk to a food industry writer?
Yes.
All right, let me go to...
it's been a dream.
Let me go to Jim. Hi, Jim. You're on with the Connoisseur. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
So I am a food industry writer, so one of the things that I do a lot is pay attention to a lot of trends, and your assessment that this is not targeted towards vegetarians is absolutely correct.
How about that?
It's called veg-centric or veg-forward. So you have an aging population with the baby boomers. You have a younger group like the millennials and even the Gen Z that want to get a little bit more healthy. So they're looking at products like the Impossible Burger. And I'll give you a little peek. Impossible is also releasing a chorizo.
Ooh.
And it is phenomenal. I got to sample it a few weeks ago, and it's going to change the industry. It really is.
Let me ask you, Jim, have you tried, as with software, there is Impossible 2.0. Have you tried Impossible 2.0?
I have tried Impossible 2.0, and I will tell you, the color change when it's cooking is really remarkable. It's eerily similar to cooking with beef.
Huh.
The flavor, you kind of said it, it's not necessarily beef-like, but for folks that are going that more healthy route and want to stay vegetarian, for instance, they don't necessarily want that.
No, but you know what they get? You know what you get from that, Jim, is a savory flavor, and that's the difference. Yeah.
We call that, in the biz, we call that umami, which is kind of that big mouthfeel when you eat a tomato or Parmesan cheese or mushrooms.
What do you call that, Jim?
Umami.
Was it? Umami?
Umami.
Oh, sorry.
Umami?
Umami, yeah.
Okay, umami. All right.
Hey, Jim, have you tried the Impossible Cheesesteak yet? And what are your thoughts on that?
I haven't yet.
The Impossible Cheesesteak. You know what actually ends up being really good? Impossible Meatloaf.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, where they do meat-ish products.
Mm-hmm. And a whole loaf.
So, Jim, and that's actually a good thing for people to have these options. So do you think this is going to be a home run for Burger King?
I think it will be a home run for Burger King for a national brand to pick up on a very experimental piece, and I don't know, how familiar you are with the Impossible development, but it was about $1 billion to develop the technology that brought Impossible to market.
Wow.
And it's been in development a long, long time. So for a national brand to capture that is really a big deal, and a lot of the folks on the inside of the industry are recognizing that. Everybody's selling it now. It's all over the place.
All right.
Cool.
Awesome.
Thank you. And Jim, what's the name of your, what do you write for?
Oh, I write for one called Foodable. I write locally in print. I write for Edible Delmarva. A bunch of online.
Well,
I have a little. I got a podcast, which is pretty cool. So, you know, a little shameless plug.
You're now on the connoisseur's radar.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'm there. So send me a link to your stuff, all right?
A lucky day.
I absolutely will.
All right. See you, Jim.
Yeah,
thanks, buddy.
Connoisseur just made a connection.
I hope that this has good, long-lasting effects for Burger King because they're going away. Like, there are fewer and fewer Burger Kings, and I like Burger King, and it upsets me. Like, my childhood Burger King is closed now.
Well, listen, having the different options, I assume McDonald's will have a similar thing eventually, but the more variety, it's better for all of us.
Yeah. By the way, umami, Nick pulled up, is spelled U-M-A-M-I. I thought it was ooh-mami.
Umami.
What did you make?
Umami. Okay. Umami.
All right, Casey wants me to go to line three. Why?
Because they have, this guy has a barbecue joint right down the street.
Okay. Really?
And they have all this impossible stuff there.
All right, this is Wilson who's on the line. Steven. Wilson. It says Wilson.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, buddy?
I got the impossible.
You got the impossible. Okay, can you expand a little bit more?
I got
that?
The funk.
But the problem with Burger King is now there's a big shortage on the impossible. So where I could do cheesesteaks, I use two patties. Now they've cut production back while they're trying to ramp it back up. So now there's a shortage across the whole country.
So
we can't get it.
To your point, Wilson, actually, the Impossible Burgers are supplied by a few companies, right? And one of them, I get, or maybe just one company that has the trademark on it. And so you're saying because of the now interest in it, it's diminished your ability to get the Impossible Burgers.
Yeah, so I would do like 30 to 40 of these Impossible Burgers a week. And I'm a barbecue restaurant, and I had a lot of vegans and vegetarians that were reaching out for something different. So once Quest Love signed on to do the cheesesteak down at the ballpark, I shot up 92 that week, and then it's been in the 50s and 60s since then.
You know what you may want to do? Just market them as Impossible Burgers, but just use regular beef.
Yeah, go for it.
These things are unbelievable.
Yeah, just kidding.
When it was just posted up here, I pressed it. I thought it said Owen Wilson's secret sauce.
No, I'm like, it says Owen Wilson's secret sauce. All right, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Talk to you later. So it's supply and demand, but maybe more demand will create more supply.
It should.
Yeah. By the way, that guy, he gave us the tires that you could – remember we did the thing in the back parking lot where you could stab the tires?
Yeah, we slashed tires.
He's a great guy.
Yeah. A listener on the line, Joe, I'm not going to have time to go to, it says, Impossible Burger, how is it vegan if it's cooked on the same grill as other burgers? Talking at Burger King,
snap.
I would assume that they would – that they'll take precautions for that because I know that some places even for allergies, like, you know, my daughter's friend has a gluten allergy.
Right.
And when we've gone by, like, say, a Chick-fil-A and said, look, she has a gluten allergy, they're like, okay, here's what we're going to do. They're going to put on gloves, they're going to put it on a different grill, and they're going to cook it that way.
Yeah.
And so they flat out tell you that. You
excellent.
Have nothing to worry about.
You don't have to worry about that, though, if you do prepare it just with regular beef.
Yeah.
True. Just use beef.
That guy that we were just talking to, I've been to his restaurant, he showed me around, and he does. He has, like, a vegan fryer and all that sort of stuff.
Okay.
So I think a lot of these restaurants will they'll isolate those things.
All right, let's get out of the fast food realm.
Yeah.
And
in the fast food realm. The connoisseur is heading off into different directions.
Yep, we're headed to Italy.
La.
Yes.
Or buongiorno.
Yeah, or mangia.
Mangia.
Yeah.
So Sicily.
So olive oil.
Yes, Popeye's girlfriend.
The oil that you use that we use liberally in my house quite a bit
really?
To cook with and to dip and you know all.
It's
that
excellent.
Stuff.
It's expensive.
I love olive. Yes, and there was that place in the Reading Terminal Market that has all those different
oils,
dipping oils, and olive oils. I love it.
So they may be dealing with a bit of an olive oil shortage.
What?
Last fall, the olive oil industry saw a 57% drop in production, a 25-year low, which means the amount of olive oil they have will only last tying customers 4 months this year. 4 months. Money woes are the primary reason for declines in production. But extreme weather had caused by climate change is expected to make things worse, as olive trees are very sensitive to their environment.
This wouldn't be happening if the Corleone family was still around.
Yeah. I told you guys about that Netflix special, which is salt, fat,
acid heat.
And they go into real detail about olive oil production and how it's done, how they press them and all
that
stuff.
It's good for you, too, is it not?
It can be in moderation.
In like the tiniest bit.
Right. But it's really fascinating how they cultivate and then press and make these things.
Well, what did they do with the rest of the olive after the oil?
I don't know what they do with the byproduct. I'm not sure after they press it all.
Marbles.
They make marbles. No, they... I don't know what they do, but I tell you what I love, man. Olive oil, and you add a little pepper to it, or red pepper flakes and some Parmesan cheese. Dip that bread in it. It's fantastic.
Get a boner.
Marissa?
Preston, you will be surprised as I was. In Italy, they don't serve olive oil on the table with
no
the bread.
No kidding.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be a thing.
I thought it'd be like on tap.
I thought everywhere I go, there'd be like fresh, warm bread and olive oil, and you pay extra for the bread. Huh. And then no olive oil on the table.
I am absolutely surprised.
Go to hell, Italy.
That must be a new thing, because when I went years ago, it was everywhere.
Really?
People were buying it. You could buy it and they would ship it for you.
Yeah. Let me ask you, maybe was this in the cafeteria in the Andy Warhol Museum?
No, there was no cafe.
Okay. Hey, is this... Also, meatballs aren't like a big thing there either, right?
Not meatballs or like tortellini or ravioli. And it's also just about the region. So I was in Rome and Florence, where they're not, you know, particular there. So you have to go to places that make that in particular.
Hmm. So they might be running low on olive oil. Just a heads up on that. Hold on,
olive
Marissa.
Oil and helium.
One more thing.
I don't want to be humble here, but is this an all Marissa connoisseur? Because everything you've talked about so far.
I can try to make it that way if you want to. I got lots of stuff here.
No, it's not my birthday, but I appreciate it.
Let's see. What else? Let's go to something else. How about this? Coffee.
Visiting the world of coffee.
Yeah, I don't know, Marissa and cappuccinos and things like that, but you just need non-dairy whatever they would use, almond milk or something like that.
Yeah, mostly an Americano fan, but I like that.
Okay, so you like water added to your espresso. Well, there's a barista that made cappuccinos look easy to make. Liza Thomas, a barista from Australia, broke a Guinness World Record. She made 422 cappuccinos in 1 hour.
Sweet mother of God.
She attempted. I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah.
She attempted the feat to record the opening of the Returned and Services League of Australia's new social cafe on Bribie Island.
You ain't going to make a lot of cappuccinos.
She followed the guidelines for the record by using a commercially available manufactured coffee machine, which output a max of 4 espresso shots at one time.
May I observe something, connoisseur?
Yes.
You yourself have become quite a little barista, haven't you?
I've learned the art a little bit. What I have not mastered, and maybe it's the espresso machine that I have, of steaming the milk to where it's got to be perfect to get it to float on top of the drink.
To make the designs.
If it's too foamy, it stands up and it's you only get the last little bit of milk you pour out.
What's the most elaborate picture you've made in the cream?
And if it's too thin, it all goes into the bottom and doesn't rest on the top. You can make a rose.
Wow.
A leaf.
There's a leaf. I haven't done that.
Oh, yeah. I thought you did do the leaf.
No, I made, I forgot what it's called. It's like a petunia or something.
Have you
like
done
that.
A dream catcher?
No, I'm not. Kathy, I'm going to work on that. I'm going to work on the dream catcher for you. But I've learned a little bit. But steaming the milk and getting it just right, you got to get it to 125 degrees. And you have to have it the depth. I would actually like a barista to train me how to do it, because I've had some fun with it. And
it'd be like whiplash.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Yes. Oh, I know the baristas and who makes the like a good one and who is kind of not as great.
Yeah. All right. So we're looking at a picture here of different different things that you can do. The one in the upper left hand corner is kind of the one that I can do.
Okay.
It's pretty simple to make, but I can't. It's hard to get the foam to rest up on top of the coffee the way.
Who's that in the lower left? Is that Fez?
I don't know who that is.
From that 70s show?
Yeah, they can do these like cool little printed things on there. It's like...
I don't know how you do that.
Well, I mean, it's done with a computer.
Yeah, there's no way a human could do that.
So this gal made 420 cappuccinos in 1 hour. So that's, I thought that was kind of an offbeat connoisseur.
Yes, story. Absolutely connoisseur. Let me ask you something, connoisseur. What is the machine you have at home?
I forgot the name of it. We bought it, you know, almost like 6 months ago, and I've forgotten. I see it every day, but I forgot the product. You have one, don't you?
Yes, I have the Mr. Coffee one, which, believe it or not, Mr. Coffee I thought would be sort of a pedestrian device, but it's really good. Heats up the milk really nice. I think it actually is very precise. I haven't tried to do the artwork.
Yeah.
I just draw pictures on it with the felt pen.
Well, that'll work, too. Yeah. But I do love me some cappuccino and lattes now. So let's find out what else.
More for the connoisseur. We're going all over the place and we're loving the trip.
Yeah, how about this? Protein's really having a moment, and it shows we're eating lots of eggs, more eggs.
Egg whites.
Newser reports Americans are eating an average 279 eggs per person per year.
Wow.
The highest number since 1973.
Do you get your eggs fresh or do you get them at the supermarket?
We get them at regular grocery store.
Regular grocery store.
Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt, Casey, but we had a neighbor who has chickens, or hens, I should say, loves chickens.
Just loves chickens.
And had been bringing us fresh eggs for a while, but we were not getting them lately.
Well, there is...
I have some fresh eggs for you. My hens have laid them. Look at them. They're perfect.
Honey, Gene's here.
I won't be a minute.
He's at the front door.
E.T. is at the house. We're playing Pong.
Oh, wow.
You're playing Pong?
Yes. He's fascinated by it.
God.
You crack me up, you little fella. You look like an unfurled foreskin.
You had to have listened to yesterday's show to understand Gene Simmons and E.T. now being roommates, apparently. Anyway, what were you saying, guys?
There is somebody who works for our company. I want to say it's Tina, who maybe it's not her that has a chicken farm, but like
Tina Costello?
No, Tina Basham.
Okay.
But somebody in her family or her has like a chicken farm, and they bring in eggs all the time. So like Trish Long, who's in our sales department, she's
stinking with eggs.
Stinking with eggs, just stinking. But she gets like, I don't know, like once a week or once every 2 weeks, gets a couple of different cartons of
that's cool.
Do you know has some chickens, egg laying chickens, hens, Saucy Redhead.
Oh, Sarah, no kidding.
Yes, who does all the cakes and stuff. Yeah. And, man, you can tell a difference.
Yeah, my neighbors growing up they all got chickens for Easter 1 year. And we thought it was like a cute thing. And then you come to realize it. No, here's some, you know, hey, but, you know, here's some eggs, you know, for the next however many years. I don't know how long chickens live, but they build a coop in their backyard. And
by the way, the Farm Fresh eggs, the yolk is a little darker in color.
It is.
And if you make them scrambled, they have that really dark yellow color to them.
When they're fresh and you're preparing them, you can hear the chicken screaming.
You can hear
and
them.
That to me is just, that's like a hot pot of coffee in the morning. It's just, that's the sound you wake up to.
No, yeah.
Little
you,
babies.
If you go to a farm-to-table restaurant, you will notice that the eggs are darker.
Yeah.
Yep.
I had a neighbor when I lived in Phoenixville that raised guinea fowl. He had guinea hens, and
I'm a chicken.
They would. The reason he had them was that they would lay eggs, and you could eat those, but mostly for pest control. They'd go around and they kill ticks. And
is that
bugs.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And they were just adorable.
By the way, so
and not at all annoying. It's Sunday morning.
Right, 279 eggs per
chickens
per person per year, highest number since 1973. 1945, Americans ate the most eggs per year, 405.
It was 1945, and America was egg crazy.
Do you put away about? You think you put away that many a year?
Most definitely, especially since I have tweaked my diet,
right,
and I've gotten more conscious of the nutrition, of the protein versus fats versus carbohydrates. I have almost every morning 2 hard-boiled eggs because they're easy to eat in the car.
They are.
And there's no carbohydrates. I haven't knocked all carbohydrates out of my diet, but I have trimmed them up a bit. So an easy, high-protein meal to eat for me on the way into work are 2 hard-boiled eggs.
You get them from Wawa, those little ones that you just pull out of the package?
But we just boil up, you know, a couple dozen at the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
And boil them. Yeah. Hard-boiled. Why didn't I see that?
Why didn't you understand that? So anyway,
So we have a...
It was right in front of me.
We got a container full of them in our fridge at all the time, and I just grab a couple on the way into work.
I love hard-boiled eggs. Yeah. I never eat the yolk.
Hey.
I always eat just the white.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I want to be wasteful.
Yeah.
You and Jace do the same thing.
I want the chicken to have died in vain.
See, that's the best part to me.
It is the best part, yeah.
My wife loves runny, yolky eggs, and I'm like, you bitch.
Preston, what is the best way to hard-boil an egg so that the shell comes off easy?
Okay, so...
All right, connoisseur.
There's a couple of different...
Cooking tips with the connoisseur!
Hey!
A couple of different ways. Number one, if you want to... if you want the yolk to not be, like, rock-hard solid, what you need to do is when you're done boiling it, what I do is I fill up the water, put the eggs in there, room temperature, start it up. When it gets up to boiling, I shut the heat off for 10 minutes.
In the whole house?
And then, no, not the whole house. It's on the stove.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And then
it's freezing in here.
I run it under cold water immediately after that to stop the cooking process. And then I let them cool down to room temperature before I start to peel them. Now, if you peel them when they're hot, I think they're easier.
What's this about putting salt in when you're boiling them?
I'm not sure.
Okay, I've heard that is some sort of thing, and I didn't know if that was...
Well, it lowers the boiling temperature, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it does?
So the water will come to a boil faster, although the water temperature won't change. It's still got to get hot in order to cook the egg.
I know cucumbers become eggplants.
Nope. The key to getting the shell off without ripping the egg apart is there's a membrane inside the shell. Okay? Oh,
that's insane.
Yeah,
so what you have to... Jesus.
You're welcome.
We're heading down the same road.
There's a membrane.
Okay. It's insane.
Of the brain.
And I run it underwater as I'm peeling it.
Yeah.
And if you get a little bit of water underneath that membrane, it's insane.
It's insane.
The whole thing just comes right off.
Oh, okay.
So it's...
You sound insane.
Did you ever peel it with a spoon?
No.
Yeah, you can put the spoon in there and just kind of, like, go right around that membrane, and the whole thing just comes off.
Okay. Have an insane in the brain?
I'm not in there, but I have other...
We have space people.
I am sitting... We do have space people.
Hit it, Steve!
No.
They come from space, so they don't come from here. These are the space people.
What were you going to say, Casey?
I am sitting on so many different sound effects here. Right,
don't worry about it.
I don't know where to go.
Here's a video, Preston, of this spoon shelling procedure.
All right, I'm on board. Any way to do that easier, then I am definitely going to try it. So I will give that a shot.
Sorry, connoisseur. Just jump in here. Do you believe that the scrambled egg is unfairly dismissed? I think...
Yeah, they're good.
I love scrambled.
Who's dismissing the scrambled egg?
Let me tell you something. You didn't hear the speech from
I haven't heard the scuttlebutt.
Japanese ambassador.
No, I know what you're saying. It's a cheap way to, you didn't take a whole lot of tender care in making
your
scrambled
egg. Who cares?
But you can if you season it properly. I had a little fresh dill on mine. Ooh. Or even some basil or something
like that. You are the connoisseur.
Kick it up a little bit.
Silly egg I know how to make.
Yeah. Yeah. My buddy Stork taught me how to make some really, really great eggs. You do a little bit of Tabasco and a little bit of Worcestershire sauce. How do you say that?
Worcestershire.
That.
Yeah.
And then you scramble that up with a little bit of milk.
Mm-hmm. Wolfgang Puck taught me to make Eggs Benedict.
I remember that.
Benny.
Yes, I was watching the video. I'm a member of that video series, cooking, and it's actually easier than you would think.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Yes, connoisseur.
Do we take a break now or do we keep talking?
I feel like we need to keep talking.
All right, because we have Fox Good Day in 5 minutes, and I didn't know if we could have a commercial break and come back. It's fine. I got plenty to talk about. There it is.
Chicken. Oh my God.
Yes, Nick?
We are all over the place.
Chicken eggs.
But I wanted to point out the latest Daily Rush because we're talking about chickens and eggs, and it's Gene Simmons and the frickin' chickens.
So okay.
Oh, my God.
That's right. It's insane in the membrane.
Good Lord.
Chicken egg membrane. ET phone home.
Oh no. Stop it. Okay, so the least amount of eggs were eaten in 1995. It's thought that the uptick in
what year?
1995.
Well, that was the year of
it was 1995. People have stopped eating eggs.
It's thought
I've been eating less eggs this year. I know it.
It's thought this uptick in people eating eggs is due to a change in federal nutritional guidelines. As in 2016, the government said eating high cholesterol foods such as eggs wasn't such a bad idea. That same year, egg consumption jumped up 6%. And now nutritionists say protein-heavy diets have boosted the appeal of eggs, as has the trend of eating them atop of avocado toast.
This young fellow has stopped eating eggs. I don't eat eggs anymore.
Remember those old...
Yes. Okay. I'm not going to go to these calls. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Really? None of them are good. These people who have taken the time to call in, there's nothing worthy.
I want to move on to something else. Right. Otherwise, these stories I'll never get to.
The connoisseur has issued a blanket apology to the people already online.
I'm sorry. How about we go to this one? We'll talk about ice cream.
Oh, my God.
Unfortunately,
I had the biggest ice cream Jones last night, but I fought it.
The Food and Drug Administration found 21% of U.S. ice cream facilities they evaluated tested positive for harmful pathogens.
I wish I'd known that earlier last night.
Such as Listeria.
Is that a new flavor?
No. Listeria Hysteria. It's new from
Vegetarians. There we go. It's awesome. Yeah. I don't like hearing this because I do. When I do want to treat myself, ice cream will be it.
Here's a trivia question. In Avengers Infinity War.
Okay, yeah, I got you.
What's the name of Tony Stark's Ben and Jerry's flavor?
Oh, see, I know a Hulka Hulka Burnin' Fudge. And then.
Now, this wasn't in real life.
Stark Raving Nuts?
Stark Raving Hazelnut, I think, is what it is.
I love that.
Or Stark Raving Walnuts. One and nuts, something or the other. But anyway. They found harmful pathogens. The agency inspected nearly 90 facilities in 2016-17, and after some 16 recalls over the course of the previous years, the tests were done to determine what type of harmful bacteria may be present in such facilities and whether the companies were correctly adhering to food safety programs. All but one of the samples came from areas of the plants that don't come into contact with food.
Sir?
So, yeah.
Are we talking major market brands?
I would assume so.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what has been my treat late at night lately in the end of the
eggs.
Day, not hard boiled eggs, but Klondike makes ice cream sandwiches.
They do.
What'd you do for a Klondike bar?
And this isn't your standard Klondike bar. It's not covered by the hard, chocolate shell.
It's kind of what I like.
It's a regular ice cream sandwich.
And your brain has the shell on it.
And that's been my go-to thing lately. So I do like ice cream sandwiches. What?
I'm a big fan of ice cream sandwiches.
I love them.
Right next to the pudding.
That guy got in here.
Related to Gene, that guy?
So keep that in mind. Here's another ice cream story. It's okay. It's okay. Ben and Jerry's.
Okay. Stark Raving Hazelnuts.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Ben & Jerry's will get into the patriotic spirit. They're releasing its new red, white, and blueberry ice cream and ice cream Sammy, which I guess is a sandwich. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so it's ice cream sandwich, but in a pint.
Okay.
Okay, so the red, white, and blue will have blueberry and raspberry ice cream swirled with vanilla cream, strawberries, and shortbread pieces. I like shortbread pieces. And then the ice cream Sammy flavor is vanilla ice cream with chocolate sandwich cookies, meaning the outside part of a ice cream sandwich, and chocolate cookie swirl.
Yeah, so the red, white, and blueberries, I feel like they're kind of biting off a big gay ice cream. They have that blueberry cobbler, which is really, really good.
No, that's a totally different thing. And I've had it. It's great. But this is, I mean... Pretty much, a lot of brands have blueberry flavored ice cream.
Yeah.
So you know,
with little shortbreads in them.
I don't know, red, white, and blueberry flavor.
Shortbread in them.
Both sound like they're going to get you in the mood for summer, and they're available now, but exclusively at Walmart.
Really?
I guess they have an exclusivity thing with Walmart.
Ha! Huh.
All right.
Wealth of information connoisseur.
Now we can go to a completely different story. And by the way, we'll be going live on Fox Good Day in like a minute or two. I think, Marissa, you checking?
All right.
Eating chips comes with the hazard of greasy and cheesy fingers, which can be a problem if you're the type of person who never puts their phone down. But now a snack maker in Japan has come up with a novel solution, drinkable chips.
Oh, gross.
Are you saying that it's an actual liquid version of potato chips?
The chips are pretty much splintered into tiny little pieces.
Oh, okay.
So you can just drink them out of their bag.
You know what? When
you get to the bottom and you tilt the bag up to your mouth, it's just a whole bag of that. But can you just take a bag and just beat it to death and then you got it?
It's stupid.
It's essentially, that's what I will actually do that sometimes when I don't feel like... dipping my hand it's into funny, like, though, little bags.
When I'm having a sandwich and I'm going to have my, you can fall into the trap of eating too many chips, a couple of chips. I like big intact chips because I'm going on the back of the bag that says this many chips is this many calories.
We have less than 2 minutes, but I got to bring up an issue that I have with pretzel chips, which I love.
Okay,
and they're great to snack on. But Rochelle gets a gigantic bag. When you get and there's like an eighth of the bag left, it's just all crumbs.
Yeah,
and those things fall apart. They're brittle and they end up just as crumbs in the bottom. You know what? A good portion of them.
Yeah. And those things incite altercations with my wife and I over like, you know, like when you get down to that part of the container, it's like what you have like a third or a quarter of the thing that is now just rubble.
Yeah, we just call that the shake, right, Press?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you talking about the crisps?
The pretzel crisp, okay. The flat ones. Yeah, in fact, we pulled up the okay. That's the exact brand we buy. There's a picture.
They're really good. Have you tried the cinnamon?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Salt and pepper.
What I'm wondering, the salt and pepper is really good. I'm wondering is if you can take all those crumbs and use them as like a breading for, you know, something.
Sure. Or birth control.
Or birth control if you need that. I don't know. But I tell you what, man, the one thing, as much as I love those pretzel thins, if one is positioned the wrong way in your mouth,
it will split your head open.
It's like a knife.
It's blade horrible
that you bit down on.
You ever get a pretzel laterally in your throat?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
And I have throat issues to begin with.
And what do you do? Oh, the music means we're going on Fox.
Hey!
Good day.
We're not.
What?
They just turned it off.
Who?
I heard music, but Marissa's communicating with them.
Hey.
Telepathically.
You keep talking about these pretzel thins. We were introduced to these little thingies. I don't even know who the pretzel maker is.
They're excellent.
When I 30 see, seconds. What are they?
Is it Unique? Is that the name of the company, Kat?
Yeah, they're pretzel shells. They're like pretzel rods, but they're
that's
hollow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've and never actually, seen that.
You want to try?
They're really good. Now we're going on Fox. Yay! Good Day. We got 10 seconds. This is Derek Colasar from After the Fire. 80s one-hit wonder. All right.
Did that just happen? Mm-hmm.
Preston and Steve.
Yeah.
And Kath and Casey Boy and Nick and Marissa, I have a question for all of you.
Geppetto.
Yes, sir.
Let's start with you two.
Geppetto.
I think there's something wrong with me. If when I go to a wedding and I hear the bride and groom say to each other, I married my best friend.
Or even engagement pictures. Oh, I'm engaged to my best friend.
For some reason, that rubs me the wrong way, and I don't know why. Steve, help me.
I know why. You're bitter and morose.
That's true.
No, honestly, my wife is my best friend. It's the truth. It's the truth. I can rely on her for everything, and that's part of the deal. However, it's a what comes first. You know, she was a friend that became someone that I fell in love with that is now my wife. So I think that's a good dynamic if you can have that.
Yeah.
You know, but Preston, do you agree?
I guess I fall in that category, too. And when it comes down to defining what best friend means, she's basically the person I like to hang out with more than anybody else.
And you can rely on?
And I can rely on and all that stuff. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't have a best friend, a best buddy.
It's your mistress.
Of course.
Well, yeah. We can tell everything.
But I know what you mean, distinguishing between wife and best friend. You can have both.
Yes, you can.
You can have both of them.
I want to know, is there someone who's married to someone who's not their best friend? Like, does that exist?
Well, it's probably Kathy.
Yeah. I'm actually not allowed to say that because you guys know my best friend, and she is my best friend.
Alisa?
Yes, Alisa is my best friend, and we've made that clear to each other, so there is a difference for us.
Oh, so the husband's now.
Oh, that's interesting.
Have you ever been involved with someone, Mike, that you would consider that you're romantically involved with, and at that time they were your best friend as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Really?
So you understand it.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I think we're shocked.
And what was this gentleman's name? No.
Ronnie.
Ronnie.
Now, we were best friends from Friday to a Monday morning.
I knew there was something.
There it is.
And then she became the plaintiff.
all right, I guess I won't be bothered by it anymore. You both explained it very
okay. No. Wait, because I disagree with all of it.
All right.
Here's the deal.
Okay, go.
Wife and husband supersedes the title of best friend, okay? Like, you vow to be a husband or a wife. So, like, just be okay with that, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know why you have to have both, right?
I have a wife and I have a best friend.
That.
Yeah, no, I do. It's like I don't know why there's a big controversy.
Does your wife not
benefits with a wife? That's for sure.
No, well, also with his best friend.
but not necessarily.
Your wife satisfies the requirements of everything you would consider qualities you'd want in a best friend. Correct.
She's also my wife because she satisfies other requirements that I don't have with my best friend.
Yeah.
Requirements. So if you had to get rid of one of them, you would get rid of your best friend.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to, but you'd have
He's not listening.
If there was a,
who are you going to kill?
A sharp object to your head. Okay. Oh, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Of course. Anytime. Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you a little bit later. But
yeah, we've talked about this before.
We have, yeah. And I remember you having that that take on it.
Yeah, my wife's not my best friend. She's my wife.
Yeah, I understand. And you say it supersedes the best friend status. However, I believe that the things... My best friend is... Dr. Mike, Mike Sirigliano.
Yeah.
You know, and I consider that, you know, and I have other really good friends as
and
well.
And then above best
friends. I mean, when someone saves your life, it really bumps them up in your, you know.
Hey, I saved your life.
Yeah, you did. You're one of my best friends.
Hey, thanks,
you
know? Buddy.
Yeah, it's semantics.
It is.
But that's a good way to explain it, that the husband-wife, you know, is above the best friend category.
It's above the best friend category. Straight stunting.
Straight stunting.
Where did that come into
it? It's a gentleman's magazine for African-Americans.
That's right.
I talked myself into a corner, and that's how I got out of it.
That's how you got out.
Hey, look at that meteor.
Hey, we have a secret text word today. This is your... Oh, by the way, we're done with the connoisseur. We wrapped that up. We finished
it. The connoisseur's over!
That was a fun one today. We got through a lot of
excellent
stuff.
Excellent stuff. A wide variety.
Yeah, I tried to add some of that variety in there. So our secret text word today is a chance to go to the Outlaw Music Festival. It's not till September 13th. It will be at the Man, but you can get your tickets starting Friday through Ticketmaster.com. But text word secret to 39333 because Willie Nelson, Bonnie Raitt, Government Mule, and more are going to be performing there. And we'll see if you can win a little bit later on. Let's take a break. Come back in a moment. We are going to talk this morning to Lewis Black around 9 o'clock. And then after that, Vinnie Brand, our good friend... had a kind of a nasty run-in or exchange with Pete Davidson at his comedy club.
All over TMZ.
Yeah, and we'll get Vinny's take on that in a little bit. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Oh my God, it's after 8:15. We haven't done the bizarre file yet.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Preston and Steve's bizarre file.
All right, a couple stories for you here, folks. The New Mexico Department of Health is urging customers of a now closed Albuquerque spa to take advantage of free HIV testing. After two cases of the virus were found among clients who received injection-related procedures.
Oh, this is this that vampire blood treatment?
It's the vampire facial.
This is so stupid.
The Department of Health is investigating two cases of HIV infection among VIP spa clients who received vampire facial between May and September of last year. The VIP spa closed in September of last year after an inspection found practices that could potentially spread blood-borne infections such as HIV, hepatitis B, and hepatitis C to clients.
Listen, you're going to a spa. Why are you drawing blood?
Yeah. Additional laboratory testing on specimens from the two clients indicates recent infection with the same HIV virus, increasing the likelihood that the two HIV infections may have resulted from a procedure at the VIP spa.
Yeah, like a scalp massage and a kidney transplant, please.
In a vampire facial, a small amount of the client's blood is drawn and then spun to extract its plasma. That plasma is then injected into the face with a needle.
But these aren't medical people.
Exactly. The owner of VIP spa did not have a licensed professional to draw the blood. Only a medical professional can actually do that. So there might be people who have HIV or AIDS because of this.
Medical professional / barista.
God, unbelievable. A sharp-eyed Burger King employee may have saved a customer from getting flame-grilled themselves when a truck carrying a 100-pound propane tank pulled into the drive-thru of a Burger King. One of the employees noticed that it was leaking gas.
Jeez.
She notified the driver, who got out of his vehicle, to check on the tank's release valve, and that's when the truck burst into flames.
Whoa.
It exploded.
That's completely...
A nearby dash cam captured the scene on video, including the moment when the tank exploded, creating a massive fireball. Fortunately, the area had already been cleared by the authorities. The driver of the truck, Ron Daniel, survived the incident, but he was sent to a nearby hospital with first-degree burns all over his body. He was released that night, though. He stated that he had just picked up the propane tank, was stopping by the restaurant to grab a few Whoppers, and he also said that his his truck was a total loss, and he felt bad for causing damage to the Burger King.
Preston, they say they found paper crowns 3 miles away.
Wow. The fire department responded and was quickly able to put the fire out. The outside and inside of the business sustained some damage. A Macon County jail inmate and a woman are facing felony drug charges after police say she sent him methamphetamine-soaked coloring book pages.
Wow.
That were then sold in strips to other inmates.
That's kind of like, sorry.
No, go ahead.
In the name of the Father?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right there. What'd they put? Laced it with acid?
That's right.
Yeah, they had a jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah.
And they put acid on it. And
so I guess that's a standard sort of procedure.
Well, they had never had this happen before. Inmate Damian O. McClure and Tammy L. Lee are facing preliminary charges of calculated criminal drug conspiracy. The warden said that this is the first time correctional offices have come across a drug smuggling ploy using methamphetamine-laced paper, but they had been warned about it. On April 8th, McClure received a letter that contained a coloring book page. The contents of the letter were placed in a locker where a canine unit alerted the presence of narcotics. Correctional officers tore off pieces of the coloring book page, and it tested positive for methamphetamine. A detective found phone calls between McClure and Lee discussing the transactions and whether McClure had received her letter. McClure also told Lee to, quote, perfect the method before he headed to the Illinois Department of Corrections so that he
could trust the process.
So he could make money while in prison. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
38-year-old Thomas Vin Liu remains jailed on a $1,600 bond after police say he attacked a Mercedes with a scooter, telling police that he struck it because, quote, it's a Nazi car, and that, quote, people should buy American, and then he pissed himself.
All right.
All in all, an interesting protest.
Police responded to...
The pissing part wasn't planned.
A disorderly person called late Sunday evening.
That was improv.
Witnesses reported seeing Thomas Liu strike a Mercedes with a scooter repeatedly. Police made contact with Liu and detained him in the patrol in a patrol car. Liu told police that he struck the Mercedes with a scooter because, quote, it's a Nazi car and that people should buy American. He also told officers he had been drinking, and they observed that he had urinated on himself and appeared to be in an altered state of mind, appearing stuporous, remarking on military matters and celebrities during his time of custody.
What celebrities did he talk about? I'm curious.
You know what? They didn't go into detail, unfortunately. Liu was charged with vandalism, disorderly conduct, and public intoxication.
Who's Liu?
We'll do one more. He's the dude who beat the car to death and pissed himself. One last story, and we'll wrap it up. 23-year-old woman who accused her boyfriend of cheating on her allegedly responded by taking off all her clothes in the parking lot of a busy shopping center on Saturday.
No pissing herself?
No, she didn't do that. The woman was, quote, naked in public dancing, shouting, and grabbing at a male.
The crowd's around.
The incident also took place in a busy public area with constant vehicle and pedestrian traffic. According to the boyfriend, the woman took her clothing off as she accused the boyfriend of cheating. She made a statement saying that she took her clothes off because her boyfriend doesn't want her anymore.
She's a hell of a performer, don't you agree?
It's pretty wild. The woman was arrested for investigation of disorderly conduct and lewdness involving a child.
Who's lewd?
Her activities. And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file.
I think narcotics and the power of drugs these days has led to more public nudity. It's an explosion of public nudity. We were talking about the Croydon people, right?
Yeah, people walking around naked in Croydon. I never really got any follow-up. Nobody concurred that.
We had more of a response to Stank Ape.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we got lots of North Wales Stank Ape. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment or two. We're going to have Lewis Black on in a little bit, Vinny Brand as well. Stay with us. We'll return shortly.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
News. Disturbed. The Raconteurs.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
I want to talk about, well, real quick, I need to mention this, because we made the announcement yesterday, and it wasn't time to make the announcement yet, but today it is, I Bleed for Preston and Steve, Blood Drive is on, and you can now get signed up for it. So that's the information we imparted yesterday. If you tried to sign up yesterday and were denied, go back and try again today, because we are set to go for Saturday, June 15th, headed back to the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks. All donors get the newest Preston and Steve t-shirt and this year's pint glass from Window Nation. And as an added incentive, we have hundreds of randomly selected donors receiving pairs of concert tickets to one of these BB&T Center concerts, Smashing Pumpkins and Noel Gallagher, or Alice Cooper and Hailstorm. So we have your chance to win those while you're there. You don't need that, but you're going to, you know, you never know. You might get that. Just
listen.
For the kindness out of your own, out of the kindness of your own heart.
We love the chair. Obviously, this is something that means a lot. It's important to a lot of people. But this year, we've got a mission.
So we want to have the largest blood drive in the country, because apparently we, I think it was less than 20 pints by that we missed it. Like, we didn't even know. We never urge, hey, we're going to break a record. This is going to be the biggest, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? Yeah, we're going to do that this year. I want the biggest one, because we came so close without even knowing it last year. And we can do this. Everybody can do this. And this will be a great feather in the cap for the Delaware Valley, for Philadelphia, for this entire region. And obviously, it's needed as well for the American Red Cross. So
it's a win-win.
Yeah, if you can go ahead and sign up, and we've got it down to a science to hopefully make it as convenient as possible for you. And we're all there, and we'd love for you to be a part of it. So Saturday, June 15th, and you can go to WMMR.com to get the information. And, of course, you can get in touch with the Red Cross to get signed up. And I believe, I don't have it here, but it's usually 1-800-RED-CROSS. It doesn't say it on here. But please just go to our website at PrestonSteve.com or WMMR.com and sign up. Ready? June 15th. We would like to see you there. All right. I'd like to talk about our mental health for a moment.
Really?
Yes, I would.
Our current status or just in general?
Just in general. No, Americans are some of the most stressed out people in the world, according to Gallup's annual Global Emotions Report.
Gallup's Global Emotion Report?
Yes. For the report, they pulled about 1,000 adults in countries around the world last year about the emotions they'd experienced the day before the survey.
Huh.
Negative emotions and experiences like stress, anger, worry, sadness, and physical pain were common around the world, tying 2017's record-setting levels. Now, in the U.S., 55% of respondents told Gallup that they felt a lot of stress the day before, well above the global average of 35%.
Do you keep track of how the global emotional status is before you judge what your mood's going to be?
No, I wonder if
you probably should.
Information worth knowing.
Does it say why, though? Like, I'm wondering.
Does
it have to do with work?
It has to do with a little bit of everything. So
hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah, Kathy, it says that, wait, no, hard-boiled eggs are good.
Oh, yeah.
Prior studies and polls have found that finances, health and health care, and politics and current events are the leading stressors for Americans.
I was going to say work because, you know, Americans work more and don't take as much vacation as, say, Europeans. So that's what I was thinking the reason was.
Nah, it's more, you know, your money. I guess that could, maybe that fall into work. Not the stress of the actual job you're doing, but whether or not you're making enough money at what you're doing. Health and health care. I could see that. Everybody's got somebody they're concerned about, including themselves.
Sure.
And politics and current events as well.
That doesn't stress me out.
That doesn't?
Politics?
Yeah, but you don't really you don't pay attention to it that much.
Get out of here. That's what I mean.
Hey, and that part stresses me out too. And I've decided to make a concerted effort to avoid it even more.
Wait, does it stress you out because, like, the other side annoys you, or because what's happening in our country?
Both, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. And that now the current events thing I can't get away from because we're
it's what we do.
It's what we do. It's at least we, you know, pay attention to it so we find something that we feel is worth talking about. We bring it up, but
we make a concerted effort to not bring politics into the show because it's an adjutant, it's divisive.
And it does nothing but get me mad.
And also we're too well informed. And we don't want that to come across, that we're being pompous about our vast command of all matters.
I've started to take stock in my responsibility as you know, as a voter, as a U.S. citizen, and I do need to know what the issues are on occasion. And I don't need to know all of it, every little minutia of it. And I've decided that when that starts making, it's counterproductive. It's making me stressed, and I don't need that. So I'm starting to avoid that when possible.
I've reached critical mass with a lot of this. I've been immersed in it tremendously. Now, I never let it. I've always been of a mind that I welcome and embrace all points of view. It's not particularly in vogue in a lot of corners of the world these days to celebrate other people's opinions. But I've have felt myself recently getting to the point like I'm spending too much time in the world of politics. And listen, there's current affairs, but I also need to know what 2 Chainz is up to.
Yeah,
and so that's there's only so much time in the day. I mean, when Kylie, you know, buys Travis Scott a Lamborghini, I need to know about that and know what I'm talking about.
Gallup's research found that lower income Americans tended to report more stress, as did those who disapprove of Donald Trump. Many of the countries experiencing roughly as much stress as the U.S. were actually embroiled in political turmoil of some kind, whether humanitarian, economic, or security related. Greece and the Philippines and Tanzania were the only countries with stress rates higher than the U.S.
Mm.
Albania, Iran, and Sri Lanka were tied with the U.S., by the way. So we're up near the top. You know,
I was at a store not too long ago, and the sales guy was not from this country.
Yeah.
And he had come over here because of his boyfriend. And so he was living in France and he hated it here. It's not that he hated the people. He hated the like how fast paced and you know, and on the go everything is all the time. And he was like feeling stressed about it. And you know, it's funny because I only had, I don't even know, like a 20-minute interaction with this guy. And you know, clearly he was.
I hope you said, go back to where you come from and eat some snails.
Well, no, I didn't say it like that. But I said, you know what? Like, life's too short for you to feel this way. Go home.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Listen, that's the God's honest truth. I remember, so my dad was having some issues that he was telling me about. And it's a little too personal to get into now, but I'm like, Dad, I'm like, you're in the twilight of your life. My dad's 80 years old. I'm like, you do what you need to do to just be happy. And if you have the wherewithal to do it, then do it. And this is something that he could do in his life to make a change, to make things less stressful. And I'm like, you need to do it now.
Do it.
And I said in so many words, you're running out of time, dude.
Yeah.
And why live your life this way?
I've been putting window cleaner in your food.
Jesus.
No, it was pine salt.
Yeah. My dad's doing something next week, and he asked me not to share it, but I'm going to share it after he does it. And it's one of those things, Preston.
Are you going to have a second mom?
Wow, no. That's great.
No, it's not that. It's not a sex change. But you know what's funny, Steve, is that he said he and I had had coffee 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he said, I'm going to tell you something. This is a secret.
Oh, boy.
Don't tell your mother.
Oh, boy.
No, you're kidding.
But it's a really, really cool thing.
Okay.
I'm really excited for him. And once he does it, I'm going to let you guys know about it, and I'll let everybody
know. Has he ever been skydiving before or no?
It's not that. And I asked him after he told me this, will you ever go skydiving? And he said, I don't know about that one, but it's along those lines. It's like a bucket list kind of thing.
I got it. That's awesome.
And you didn't tell your mom?
I did not tell my mom. No, and they're in Colorado right now, so they're not listening.
Okay, see, in our family, whenever somebody says don't tell someone, like, give it 30 minutes, they'll know.
So you have to specify. When you, hey, keep this a secret. And I go, okay, hang on a second. What kind of secret? Is this like a secret that I can't tell my wife? Because
right.
You know, no. the spouse, you know, it's like, no, obviously.
Even if you say that, no one in my family cares.
No kidding, really?
No.
Oh, that's
great. No, whenever the secret telling thing is, I always consider, well, they're going to tell so-and-so.
Yes.
Even if I say, don't tell anybody. Yeah, yeah. And if you're prepared for it that way, it's cool. You know what I mean?
If you tell me...
I know you're going to tell your wife anything that I tell you or your husband.
There is no rule. Nothing.
You know that.
Just if you don't want my wife to know and you're going to swear me to secrecy, do not tell me.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell her.
Yeah, agreed.
Unless it's about you banging my wife.
Here's the secret.
Yeah.
I've been nailing Claire.
Really?
Don't tell anybody.
Interesting.
Don't tell your wife.
I can get another action figure then.
I'm glad you can see the positive in all this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's
getting
always
that big Batman statue I wanted.
Always a silver lining. Some stress is normal, by the way, and even healthy, but chronic stress is connected to a range of conditions, including mental health issues, cognitive changes, and chronic diseases. And that makes widespread stress a public health issue as well.
I think what worries me and stresses me out the most is how quickly time has gone as I get older, right? Like, so because time's all relative, right? So
you're just a youngin'.
When I was a kid, I didn't have many years under my belt, so everything felt like it took forever. And now, after 40, it's like, oh, well, that was pretty quick. You know what I mean?
You know what, though? But people are going to be less critical of you now when you piss in public. So there you go.
No, more critical.
No, hey, you're expected to. You're a doddering old fool.
Any of you guys ever been to a therapist besides couples therapy? But I mean,
yes.
You know, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You recommend it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It depends.
Because to me, when there are times when I get in what I just call a funk and it'll last a few days, I do have the wherewithal to say myself, look, dude, you're going to pull yourself out of this. These things are usually temporary. Don't worry about it. I don't wallow in it for a long amount of time. But there are days where I'm just like down. And maybe I can't even put my finger on exactly what it is. And I'm like, well, maybe I should find somebody to talk to.
Well,
and then it goes away and then I don't care about it anymore. You know what I mean?
It depends on the person, too.
I saw you. I told you a while ago, I saw you going through stuff that I had been going through. And as a friend, I didn't say anything. No. but because, you know, it's not my, you would work it out. However, I can tell you this. And I am the kind of person who I'll hold things close to the vest. But talking to a third party, or in this case, a second party, who's an objective person who can allow you to frame things in certain ways,
yeah,
made a big difference. I would do it, you know, once a year, maybe twice a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I thought once you do it, you need to be doing it every couple
when
of weeks.
When you feel you need. Now, some people I know are quite often, and some people go once, twice a week, or whatever you need.
Yeah.
I just go in and say, on a per need basis is when I would use it. And it's just simply, everyone I know who's done it, Nick, maybe you know someone who's had a less than wonderful situation. I think it all depends on the therapist, benefits from it.
But my fear is always walking in and going, okay, where the hell do I begin? I mean, you know,
they're
a professional.
Yeah. Well, where you begin is by swiping your credit card.
All right. By the way, we got a break in like 2 minutes, so I'm sorry.
All right, no, go ahead. Nick, you want to talk.
I've been in and out of therapy my entire adult life in my early 20s, and I will say this, Preston, dating is like going to therapy. You're not going to find the right therapist every time. You're not going to find the right partner every time. But I will also say that finding the right therapist is like finding the right physical therapist or the right trainer. You feel better about it after you've gone. When you walk out, it's like when you've walked out of the gym and you've gotten a good workout in. A good therapist is going to ask you questions that you're not going to ask yourself. And you're going to be in better mental health, just like you'll be in better physical health after you left the gym with a good trainer.
Okay.
And then also, like, you got to try and be as honest as possible with said therapist.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
A good therapist will allow you the comfortability. When you start getting those questions directed at you, and by the way, it's all about not asking questions, but about allowing you to you know, pontificate and allow you to get to those issues. You know, you think, oh, man, I think some people become addicted to therapy, and I don't think that's good either.
Yeah.
But I found, and I can, you know, I can recommend mine if you want to. But I think it's good. I think it's good to have someone to talk to.
And I hated it. I went a few times. It never worked for me. I didn't like talking to somebody, and it just... it didn't help me.
Mm.
But I think maybe that was that person.
I know, but I went to a number of... I tried different people. I didn't like... And I like that it works for some people, but for me, it just... I don't know why. I just was not comfortable.
Is it like a vulnerability thing?
One lady I didn't like. The other... It just... I don't know.
The other one smelled funny. The other one had like a... air blades or air wicks in their thing. And
why am I in this lady's house? Yes. Get me out of here. Also, I couldn't get out fast enough.
Our show is a bit of therapy every day, Preston.
It is.
You come in and you speak your mind, and if there's something bothering you, you vent and you have a microphone in front of your face. Not everybody has access to stuff like that.
And I have peers who are going to talk to me about it and phone calls of non, you know, people who don't personally know me to jump in and comment as well.
That was the thing for me, like to talk to somebody that I knew was more helpful. Now they're not an expert. They're not a professional. So their advice is just, you know, like a friend's advice. That's it. But to me, I was more comfortable doing that than talking to a stranger.
Very interesting. Mm. Well, apparently we're a pretty stressed nation. So if you feel that way, you're not alone, clearly. And
try to do things that give you zen breaks during the day. I do that all the time.
Yeah, most definitely. All right. Sorry, didn't mean to get heavy.
You did, though.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk to Anger himself.
Yes.
Lewis Black, who will be on the program. Maybe we'll bring that up with him. And Vinny Brand, too. There's a whole exchange between him and Pete Davidson. He's pissed off as well.
Yeah.
So we'll get these guys on and come back at a moment. Stay with us.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Our next guest.
Welcome.
Going to be performing at the Borgata Music Box in AC October 11th and 12th. By the way, tickets are on sale today, and I'll tell you how to get those in just a moment. And we just had a lengthy discussion about stress and anger in America and how we're one of the highest ranked in the world. And we have the guy who played Anger in Inside Out, which could be my all-time favorite animated movie. And we love his stand-up. He is such a great guy. Ladies and gentlemen, Lewis Black.
Yeah.
Hey, Lewis. How you doing, man?
Better every day. Every day just gets more wonderful, doesn't it?
It does.
It just does.
So, you know, it's so hard to be funny now when everything's going so great.
There's really nothing to pick on.
Oh, my God. That's brilliant.
Seriously, everywhere I go, people are smiling ear to ear.
Let me ask you, Lewis, because obviously you've done a number of albums, you know, over the years and a lot of specials. And in fact, you did one from the Borgata a few years ago. As you weave your way in and out of gleaning material, it seems to be not difficult for you. Do you ever find yourself in a situation? You know, I know you started as a playwright. Do you ever find yourself in a fallow period where you're it's just not coming to you, or the environment is not yielding good opportunity?
It was every time I think that, you wake up and look at the front, you know, I start to feel like that, and then you wake up and you pick up the paper, turn on the TV, or look at the computer, or look at your phone, and go, oh, look.
There you go.
It's seriously, if stupidity were oil, this country would be the wealthiest on the planet.
You know what? I love your style, Lewis. One of the things I love about it is, your storytelling and how your audience allows you to take the time to create the story, to get to where the humor is. And it's kind of hard to do, I would imagine, these days. A lot of people are impatient and they want the punchline. They want it now. Did it take you a while to grow that relationship with your audience, or have they always been kind of patient in allowing you to get to the point of the story?
No, it took a while, and it took me a while to figure out how to present it in that fashion that they would trust me. And now, I mean, what amazes me is that a lot of it is just learning to be comfortable up there so that they feel like, you know, I'm not going to take them into a cul-de-sac and beat them over the head.
Yes, that can really confuse them.
Yes, but it's worked out pretty well. They because I don't sit down and write my material. I do it in front of them.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, so let me ask you, in doing some research on you, so again, it's my understanding that you went to school to, you know, to become a playwright and started doing some plays and one-act plays. And then before these plays, a lot of times you would sort of get up and warm up the audience or interact with the audience, and that was the genesis of your stand-up career. Is that correct?
Yeah, I worked in a room, actually, that I lived near. I worked in New York City, and we had a room downstairs at a restaurant run by a friend of ours, and there was me and two friends, and we ran this thing. We did a bunch of plays there, and I basically was the host and would open for every play, and so I got my first I was cast in a Woody Allen movie because of that, and then they picked up on my comedy because of it, and things went from there.
Yeah, it was wild because I was looking, and I forgot you were in Hannah and Her Sisters, and you were also in Jacob's Ladder.
Yeah, I turned around whole movies have been pivotal.
To my
minute and a half. Lives are changed.
Let me tell you this. So there's a movie that I think has reached a bit of cult status, and I don't know. The movie Accepted with Justin Long and Jonah Hill. And do you find there's a bit of cult recognition for this movie? I happen to love it. I think it's in the grand tradition of like, you know, 80s comedies and one of the better, you know, school, college comedies. Do you get a lot of recognition off that? Do you have a fan base off that?
I do. I mean, I had a huge reaction to that because of, you know, a lot of what I got to say in that movie and the character I got to play I was lucky enough to be able to do it. And they picked, you know, I didn't have to audition. And it was really well written. I mean, it was good because it wasn't like, you know, they didn't dwell on, you know, they just kind of, that movie just kept going. It was really quickly paced. It was 89 minutes long. So by the time you hated it, it was 2 days later.
You're already out of town. It's cool.
I mean people actually didn't. They didn't know I was a stand-up. I've had people who kind of come up to me and go, "You're that guy," and I go, "Well, yeah, I'm that." And then I say, "I do comedy." And they go, "No, accept it."
Yeah, well, it's funny because it's clearly, you know, a lot of stuff that your material was, you know, permeating, you know, the script there, and your character was your character. I wanted to ask you, so you've been with The Daily Show. You go back all the way to Craig Kilborn, correct?
No, yeah, I go back. I was the first. I was in the first year. I was in the first 2 weeks that the show was on.
Right. So we had him in a while ago. It was, you know, we were sort of reputation of, you know, that could be difficult to work with. He was a pretty nice guy in here. What was your recollections of the beginning days of the Daily Show and getting that up and running? And now you're still doing it. What's your take on it overall?
Well, I mean, he was fine. I mean, he was reading the cards.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he came over from sports. It was that kind of the look, and that was kind of what they were shooting for. And essentially that first couple of years they were trying to figure out what they were.
Yeah.
But for me it was great because initially I just sat there and I improv. We had no audience, and I would just improv my stuff behind the desk with people walking behind me, a fake newsroom.
Wow.
And then it evolved into Back in Black over a couple of years.
Mm. When did you have a sense that whole persona that you had arrived and that you were getting recognition and this had teeth, that people were responding?
Probably when it just started to be like, you know, between The Daily Show and I was doing a lot of Conan's and then Comedy Central kind of made me and David Tell, they made us kind of the face of the network for a while. We did a lot of work interstitially and we hosted shows. And then I got this, in 2000, I got the American Comedy Award for stand-up. And that was really when I went, oh, wow, somebody, whew, that shocked me.
And you won a Grammy for the Carnegie performance at Carnegie Hall.
Yeah.
And we've always heard... Yeah. There is obviously the legend and the lore and the whole thing. It's the special is hilarious. It's great. Obviously, it's an award-winning special. But did you feel a particular weight to playing Carnegie Hall, or was there was it just another?
I mean, yeah, the only thing that I felt there was is that they were pretty mean about stuff.
Really?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Backstage, we wanted to take a picture with my parents, and they said you can't do that.
What?
Yeah, I wanted to do, I forget what we call the thing, it was the Carnegie Hall performance. We wanted to take a picture of me in front of the Carnegie Hall. They were going to charge us a bunch of money for that. I mean, it was unbelievable, everything. Wow. And it was the most amount of people that ever complained about sound.
Wow. Wow, man.
So, it was great. It was really kind of great, and it was a lot of fun to do, and I think that the it came out really well, but, you know.
Hey, Louis, I have to ask, you know, I had mentioned anger Inside Out, and you have such a distinctive voice. You have a very gravelly-sounding voice. And when I hear someone like yourself in that character really getting to the height of it, and in your stand-up routine as well, when you hit those really passionate moments, when I hear someone like you or maybe like a Harvey Fierstein, it sounds like it hurts. Does that ever hurt when you're really getting up there?
No, because you learn how to do it.
Okay.
What you hear now in my voice is, what you're hearing now is the sound of spring.
Ah,
just the sound of spring.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So irritating. People come up, are you sick? No, they're flowers.
They totally misunderstand.
Oh, man. Pollen's freaking everywhere around here right now, yeah.
Do you suffer?
I wish they would come up with a bee that I could shove in my nose and get the pollen where it belongs.
You've done a lot of voice work, though. You've done a lot of cartoon voiceover work. Do you enjoy doing that?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of fun. I mean, the great thing is that, you know, I don't think I'm as... I think I'm an okay actor. I think, though, as a voice person, I'm really good because especially with, like, Inside Out, those Pixar artists really provide a character, a physicalization, you know, in terms of animation that is so spectacular that, you know, you can't, like, I couldn't top it if I was having to do that for real.
You know, it's funny because the way, you know, you come through the character in Inside Out and you know, you can sense you. But I was reading someone had described, you know, I think it's actually sort of a compliment. You're sort of a human Don Martin character, you know, from Mad Magazine. of a classic, illustrator. That's a pretty cool compliment.
Yeah.
No, that's a great compliment. Yeah.
Hey, Louis, question: have you ever played the Stress Factory in Connecticut, Vinnie Brand's comedy club?
Not the one in Connecticut. I played the one in New Brunswick. I've tried to play the one in Connecticut. We tried to set it up, and my agent screwed it up.
Oh, hang on, Vinnie. You want to say anything to Louis since you're on the phone here?
Hi, Louis Black, you know I love you. That is one of the classiest, funniest guys in the business. And if you're anywhere near the Borgata, you really need to go see that show.
All right.
Louis, how are you, friend?
I'm good. How you doing, Vinny?
Vinny's our next guest, and I saw here, it just says on my text, it says, I love Louis Black, Vinny Brand. So I figured I'd bring him in real quick before we wrap it up.
I love playing. Vinny's club in New Brunswick was really the time, the energy, the effort he put into creating a really great room was something to behold. It took somebody with a lot of patience. The fact that he didn't, you know, just, you know, stand around blowing things up. Running it is really a testament to his patience.
Well, I figured I'd bring him on real quick, but Louis, we know you got to go, but I want to tell people that the Jokes on Us tour is at the Borgata Music Box. That'll be October 11th and 12th. And you can get tickets through your website, louisblack.com, right?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. Well, listen, great to talk to you, and enjoy, you know, the summer, and we'll see you when you make it into AC in October, all right?
Well, thanks very much, and hey, Vinny, take care, and thanks a lot, and I hope I'll see you soon, and thanks, everybody.
All right.
You're awesome. The
Louis Black, guys. I think I'd throw Vinny in there real quick.
That?
So, Vinny Brand, how you doing, man?
You know, I'm doing great. I just want to say one thing about Louis, because it's important, right?
Yeah.
So, Louis is a theater actor. He's a fantastic comic superstar. He plays at State Theater in New Brunswick. And every time he does it, he goes on stage in front of a packed house and says, hey, you got to go support this local club. I love this guy. He is such a class act. And he is so funny. That guy is one of the best ever.
He's great. I mean, he's got the gift. And it's the real deal. And I love that when they remember to support other comedians and other comedy clubs and things of that nature means a lot.
Yep.
All right. He's a great dude.
So, Vinny, let's talk about this this whole story. That's in. Thanks for coming on today. We appreciate it. It hit TMZ, and Pete Davidson was booked to play your club. He was going to come out. Now, I'm going to play the audio for people who haven't heard it yet of Pete, and then we're going to go to you, and we're going to hear the story. But Pete Davidson was supposed to do a show, and instead of coming out and doing the show, he made an Instagram video saying why he was not going to be performing on stage. I'm going to play this, and we're going to talk to you about it, Vinny. So here's Pete.
Hey, guys, in Connecticut. I'm sorry that we had to leave the show before I got to go on. The owner, Vinny Brand, disrespected me and did something that I told him not to do, and I can't, you know, perform under those circumstances. However, everybody who got tickets to that show, I am doing a free show for you guys. We'll figure out where it's going to be in the next week, and we'll get it all sorted out. Sorry again. This is not your fault.
All right, so what all went on, man? Because we're a little confused by the whole thing.
Okay, so, you know, listen, first of all, I want to say this right up front. I love Pete Davidson, and this whole thing would have been under the rug if he didn't do the Instagram video. I would have never said a word about it. They asked me before the show to make sure that the audience understood certain rules before the show began. Yeah, they were the cell phones, not just down, but put away.
Okay. Yeah.
Couldn't have a cell phone on a table, you know, and the rules are very specific. And I love Pete. I've known Pete a long time. I want the night to go perfect. It's a brand new club. He sold it out. It's all going to be good. So, you know, I went to the green room, said hi to Pete. He told me who to bring up first. And that's it. I don't talk any more to Pete about anything.
Right.
So then what happens is he's got a security team. They told me during the day that one of the sensitivities that Pete has is he doesn't want to hear about Ariana Grande or Kate Beckinsale.
Right.
So, you know, they said, listen, if anyone yells out during the show, Pete will handle that. But if they yell this out, they're going to get ejected immediately. So right before I'm about to get brought on, I only said hi to Pete for 2 minutes in the green room. It was all good. It was light. I'm like, thank you so much for coming in. It really means a lot to me. And before I'm about to go on, I'm talking, they're introducing me. I say to the security guy, okay, I'm going to lay down the law. I'm going to say no cell phones, no calling out. And then I'm going to specifically say, don't yell Ariana Grande or Kate Beckinsale, or you'll be removed. It's a one and done situation.
It's a warning for the audience. It makes total sense. Yes.
Right. And he said to me, yes, perfect. Say that exactly.
Okay.
Well, there you go. Jeez. So you go out, you do it, and you're doing. It's your club. You're as every comedian. And by the way, your clubs are known for being places where comedians like Chris Rock and heavy hitters come in to try out material. You understand the business. You understand what they want. You know how to set a room. So you go up and do that, and then what happens?
And then, so, you know, I go up and do it. I actually walk off stage, and the same security guy that I said, that's how you lay down the law. I was just kidding around, like being cocky. That's how you lay down the law.
Right.
And he goes, yeah, great job. Now, I don't go back into the green room because Pete's hanging in there. It's not really, you know, I don't want to infringe, right?
Yeah.
So Pete's in the green room. I'm out front. That same security guy goes, hey, man, Pete's leaving. He's not doing the show. He's upset. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he goes, yeah, he's upset you mentioned Ariana Grande. And I go, hey, you told me to say that. He goes, listen, you better go talk to him. So I go out into the alleyway behind the club. Pete's getting in his car. I go, Pete, what's going on? He's going, man, you humiliated me. I go, Pete, I would never hurt you. And listen, for the record, I would never hurt Pete Davidson. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He's a talent. Just not something I do.
Right.
So he's getting in the car, and the security guard there. And I go, dude, you told me to say that. And he goes, I didn't effing tell you that. And he steps out there, he's going to beat me up. I go, dude, don't hit me. And the other security guard who was there saw the whole thing go down, steps in between us. And I said, you heard that. You heard him tell me that. Straighten this out. Don't let this go down.
Right.
And the guy goes, I don't want to get involved.
Oh, man.
Right. But that tells you know, listen, I don't want to get involved, says I heard it, but I ain't losing my job.
Uh-huh.
Okay. No, to the point, you know, Nick was going back through some of, you know, your tweets and stuff. There's all sorts of kind words about Pete Davidson and obviously pictures and stuff about, you know, you guys together. So this had to feel to you like a bit of a sucker punch.
This is, it really was. And I said to Peter, Pete, please don't do this. It's a brand new club. We're friends forever. I would never hurt you or disrespect you. And he goes, I said, if this guy tells you he said it, will you go do the show? And he goes, yeah. And I look at the driver, I go, dude, don't let this go down.
Yeah.
And the driver wouldn't say a word.
So,
and again, that's how guilty people act. Okay, you know you did it. You don't want to deny it again. You just can't sit there quietly. Pete looked at me because I hope you learned your lesson, and he drove away.
Oh,
wow.
So, Vinny, wow. I was scrolling through your Instagram account this morning and got to one in 2016 where Pete was on stage, and you complimented him. You said he owns the stage. Clearly, you're supportive of comedy and comedians in general. Why do you think he acted this way? Is he just overly sensitive?
I think that Pete's rule is don't mention that by name.
Yep.
I think the security guard, because here's the thing, there's a chief security guard that I talked to during the day. He said, listen, I'm not going to be there, but my guy will be there. And I think if Pete's main security guy was there, he would have said to me, no, don't even say the name. And listen, in my head, the way people are, the odds of someone going during a show are very, very high if I don't lay down the law.
Right.
So, you know, Pete went on and said, Pete said, I made a joke about it. And people are saying, I made a joke. I made no joke. It's not what I do. I don't dish on celebrities. It's just not my act. I mean, I dish on my family. Ask them.
We know for a fact that you do.
Well, you wouldn't have a long career like you have. You wouldn't have a successful club that successful comedians come to all the time if that's how you treated people. And, unfortunately, people, mistook your tone as sarcasm. And, I don't know where that comes from.
Let me tell you something. Nobody in that room mistook it for sarcasm.
Yeah.
Nobody. Okay, that's a fabricated spin. The people in that room that were actually in the room supported me 100%. There are people on Instagram saying, oh, he was sarcastic. I looked them up. They live in California. They live in Chicago. They're trolls.
Yeah.
Okay? You weren't in the room. I said to one lady, hey, give me your name. I'll look your ticket up. Guy looked her up. She lives in Culver City, California. Okay? She's a hanger-on, and she wants to be relevant, so she's chiming in. If you look at the people that were in the room that commented, they'll tell you there was no mistaking my tone. None.
I know what this is. This happens all the time. It's information that is passed down. Pete passed it from him to a security guard. The security guard then passed it to you. Uh-uh. There's a translation miscommunication that always happens when it's not going from source to source. If there's one person in between, these little things can happen, and then somebody's imagination goes crazy, and then you disrespected me.
Yeah, I guarantee you. If you were standing there with him or had been able to talk to him earlier, unless he's flat out just in a bad place and deranged, it would have turned out differently. But
yeah,
you're right.
If you would have said, listen, I'm going to tell everybody, don't say Ariana and don't say Kate, he would have said, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So there you go.
So is there any chance of repairing this relationship?
I hope so, because I tell you, I've said to everybody, like, there are people on my Instagram saying, F that guy, he's a this, he's a that. And I tell them, don't say that, okay? Things happen in our business. It's a public business. There's no need for that. Pete's a great guy. He's a funny guy. And listen, even if Pete never wants to repair the relationship, I'm not going to say bad stuff about Pete Davidson, because I don't feel that way. If he wants to say bad stuff about me, if he wants to say that I disrespected him, it's not my perspective, but I would never badmouth Pete Davidson.
I think also, Vinny, the fact that, he's got a fair amount of followers, so he throws this up on social media, and you're not... Now, TMZ did run your response, from the stage, and you can see the people in the audience are sort of cheering you on. They agree with you, the people who are in attendance, so that gives stock to and credibility to what you're saying. But it does put you in a weird way. If you have you obviously have a friendship going back. This might have warranted, a day or two later calling and saying, listen, I want to talk about what happened, and let's do it. But you don't do that in a public forum.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I tell you something funny? There's no video footage of me making the announcement, because I did my job right. The first thing I did was tell you, put your phone away.
Right.
I wish I didn't do my job so well, because then I'd be able to play someone's video and say, hey, Pete, there's no joke here. I didn't do anything wrong. And, you know, but I did my job right. And if Pete called me tomorrow, I'd welcome it back with open arms, even though, and if he didn't go on Instagram, I would not have responded
yeah.
to anything. Eh. Because, you know, but you're calling me out on Instagram saying I disrespected you. Listen, I have long relationships with comics because I don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
Never. You can't find me dishing on Kathy Griffin, Roseanne Barr, Louis C.K., none of them, because I don't do that. It's not my gig. So anyway.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. And the bash came through when we saw it. I'm like, I'm sitting there. I never watch TMZ, the show. I'm always on TMZ just checking out stuff because it's a lot of the stuff that we talk about and report on. But I'm like, it's Vinny Brand. What the hell is this about? And and so I said, I called Casey and said, yeah, we need to talk to Vinny about this because, yeah, man, even in the video, you're pointing around the room saying, you see those names, Chris Rock, all these people, they come to this club to try out material because this is a welcoming place for comedians.
Yeah, we always protect the comedians. I've been telling people to put cell phones away for 20 years,
yeah.
25 years. You know, we police our room very well. No one's allowed to get out. No one's allowed to make a jackass of themselves. And, you know, it's that environment that makes comedy great. So we're really serious about it. And, I mean, you know, when people follow our rules, that's why the club is fun. It's why the comics have great sets. So, I mean, to suggest that in a brand-new room, I would go up and try and crack wise.
Yeah.
When I clearly am thrilled. It's a Monday night, 9:45. And I've got a superstar in the room, and the room is full, yeah. right? I mean, come on, do you really think I'm going to go jeopardize that?
No!
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. And not that, like, you're looking for, you know, to create sides here, but have you heard from any other comedians that are supporting you here?
Yeah, actually, quite a few. And I'm not going to name names because I don't want anyone to have to get in a tiff, but a couple of really big stars, like really big stars, reached out to me and say, hey, listen, take the high road, be good, be who you are.
Yeah.
And there's one guy in particular, I told him back, he's a classiest guy in the business. He's a monster star. He reached out to me immediately. I'm not going to say who, because I love the guy, and I'm not going to put him in the middle. But, yeah, I've had a lot of people reach out and say, listen,
Vinny,
we know that you wouldn't have done that.
May I guess, does this gentleman have a large shock of red hair and works primarily with props?
No. I'm going to tell you who it is, because he reached out via Ouija board. It was Robin Williams.
Bob, God bless so that cool. man. He just ever. Keeps giving.
The biggest right. name ever. I thought perhaps when you answered the phone, it was going to say, you have a call from Phoenix Correctional Facility in Montgomery County.
Yeah, Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby. Well, dude, it's you know, we know you. We know the way you are. And, and it's clear you have a friendship with Pete. And we've always actually wanted to have him on the show. But, you know, listen, I it sounds like it'll work out because I've seen him kind of make mistakes. He did one. And he did a mea culpa on SNL, on Weekend Update. And so hopefully that'll be the case. Hopefully you guys can work it out because it's clear there's a friendship there.
I would love it. I would love it if you called me because I'll tell you right now, if he came back to that club, I said it a couple times, if he wants to come back and do it, I won't even charge people for the food and beverage. He wants to do the show for free. I'll do the food and beverage for free.
Wow.
Let people come in and see what you're really all about because he really is a good guy. And I hope he somehow hears this and decides to call me because – it would be best for him, best for me, and certainly best for the people in that room.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, there's no small part of me that felt terrible for those people in that room. Monday night,
yeah,
it's a commitment to get out at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Well, we know,
and it's clear that's the case. And hopefully, I don't know, we'll tweet at him or do whatever we have to do and see if there's any way it gets on the radar. You never know how these things work, but it's but you're on record. And it's cool that you came on today with us.
Hey, man, I appreciate it very much. You're more than enough. So you guys are great. I love you guys.
All right, buddy. Well, hopefully we'll see you in Philly soon. All right, Vinny?
All right, man. Sounds good, guys.
All right, take care. Vinny Brand.
Yay!
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
He is a good guy. And I love this text somebody sent. It said, comedy is not an exact science. Social media thinks that it is. Yeah, that's very true. People comment on comedy regularly, but nah, I gotta. You know what? I think. Some texters are beating up on Pete pretty hard, but one of the texts rang true. Is like, is he? Do you think that Pete is buying his own BS? Meaning, yeah. Is he getting too big for his britches? You know what I mean?
I've seen him again do the mea culpa when he realized he was wrong, and maybe this is a case, as you said, sometimes when there's a game of whisper down the lane going on, stories get changed and contorted, and people become entrenched. Yep. This can be an issue. So we'll see how it happens.
Right. Now, it sucks when you say something that was interpreted incorrectly, and you're like, No, I didn't. No, I wasn't. Like, I was saying the opposite of that. Like,
of course. But, yeah. but now you're off and running.
Yeah.
The race has begun.
You know what can heal everything? A good chicken.
Yeah.
Gene Simmons chicken is the latest Preston and Steve Daily Rush video. And the description says he loves his little chicken so much.
I love every one of them.
Yes. So you can now... What?
I found a new friend.
You have E.T.
Who sort of looks like a chicken.
I would imagine that a chicken, really?
A turtle and a chicken.
Yeah, a turtle maybe? Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll see that video down the road a little bit because Gene and E.T. yesterday was just killing me. So Gene Simmons chicken is the latest Preston and Steve Daily Rush, and that is sponsored by Punchline Philly Comedy Club and Restaurant and Bar. So check that out if you get a chance. And also... a few more minutes left to text in for a secret text word today.
Oh!
The Outlaw Music Fest is coming to the Man, and it's not till September 13th, but tickets go on sale this Friday at Ticketmaster.com. So text the word secret to 39333. Let's see if you win. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. Bizarre file stories are on the way, so stay with us.
You know that yearly family picnic, the one where everybody shows up to hang outside, enjoy good food, great friends, and plenty of cold beer. And while it might be fun to watch Uncle Joe do a keg stand, MMR's Family Picnic has a kick-ass rock bands providing the entertainment. Shinedown.
Cause it's about to get heavy.
Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. The Struts. And Evanescence. Plus GA performances from Fozzy, Bad Wolves, The Glorious Sun, and Serafo. Bud Light presents MMRBQ 2019, Saturday, May 18th, BB&T Pavilion, WMMR.com for details on $25 lawn tickets. Hit up the Rock Shop for this year's MMRBQ t-shirt presale. Order now in time for the show. 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
All right, let's take another run at this. B-File time.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre. Bizarre File.
And it is brought to you by Drexel's LeBeau Online MBA. Drexel's LeBeau Online MBA is designed for the future of business. Visit drexel.edu/online-mba to learn more. I'm going to start with a couple of... wrong identities or assumed identities. All right, so we'll start with this: a Florida man thrown out of a Tampa area library for being drunk, and was arrested after telling police his name was Jason Bourne.
Jason Bourne, the fictional character.
That's the one. He claims to be him.
Well, I'm the Great Gatsby. Pleased to meet you.
Police were called to the public library because the man was causing a disturbance. Jonathan William Chapman. Was under the influence of alcohol and refused to leave the library despite multiple requests from library staff that he go.
I'm going to remain because I'm Severus Snape.
The police arrived and Chapman gave him the name of Jason Bourne.
Wow, man, you don't want to screw with that guy.
Yeah, once police figured out Chapman's actual identity, the 45-year-old man was taken into custody on a first-degree misdemeanor charge of resisting an officer without violence.
Florida man, Florida man.
I never realized Jason Bourne was from Florida.
No, he's from FLA. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Wow.
Be careful who you believe is a real celebrity now. A con artist posing as Jason Statham.
Oh! Big day for Jasons.
Cheated a British woman out of hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, man.
One of these. So BBC News reports the unidentified victim said she thought the star had contacted her directly while she was on a Facebook fan page. The imposter sent the woman hundreds of messages on WhatsApp and convinced her that he was in love with her.
Come on.
In real life, the actor is married to supermodel Rosie Huntington Whitley.
Have you ever seen her?
No, but I can imagine.
Staggering.
She's got to be, right? The imposter then told his victim that he was facing financial difficulties and basically tricked the woman into giving him hundreds of thousands of dollars to Jason Statham.
So I don't care. Do you surrender all perception of reality when you reach that level of fandom?
I think you got to be a pretty sad individual.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know.
Yeah, but he's kind of at a level. I don't know what this lady looks like, but he's not. You know, Bradley Cooper.
But he's still a heartthrob. He's a good-looking dude. He's in great shape.
I'm not saying he's not good-looking.
He was in Meg?
He was in the Meg. I'm just saying he's a few steps below Bradley Cooper. Not in the looks department, but in the fame department, right?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
The scam.
He's the transporter.
The scam is being investigated by the Greater Manchester Police. For centuries, humans have been searching for the Yeti, and now, in an unceremonious tweet, the Indian Army is claiming to have found evidence of the mythical Himalayan monster.
Oh, my God. Yeah. In the Himalayas?
Yeah. On Tuesday, the official verified Twitter account of the Indian Army's Additional Directorate General of Public Information tweeted a picture of what it claimed were Yeti tracks in the snow.
All right, you got me. Let's take a selfie. Let's get this done.
And the post read, for the first time, an Indian Army mountaineering expedition team has sighted the mysterious footprints of mythical beast Yeti. And it was accompanied by three pictures of footprints and a group photo that appeared to be of the expedition group.
Are you the Yeti?
Yeah.
The prints allegedly measured 32 inches by 15 inches.
Wow.
That's a big foot.
Wow.
And were spotted close to Makalu Base Camp, an isolated mountainous area between Nepal and Tibet. This elusive snowman has only been sighted at Makalu Barun National Park in the past, the Post claimed. Unsurprisingly, the tweet prompted a flurry of incredulous responses on social media.
Why do people just automatically not believe that someone has met a Yeti?
With many rebuking the Indian military for propagating theories previously debunked by science.
It does tend to rob a military of its
credibility.
Validity when they start reporting on finding a Bigfoot.
A Yeti. A new luxury condo development in Vancouver, Canada, is hoping to lure in some millennials to buy its expensive condos. One bedroom starts at just under $300,000.
Hi, I'm a Yeti, and I want you to really consider this place for your family.
Well, now they have the promise of free avocado toast for a year that comes along with this.
So that's a selling point?
Avocado toast mentioned this morning.
They're trying to draw in the millennials. The Kira, part of Woodbridge Homes, notes that it is close to daily conveniences like transit, shopping, parks, and restaurants. And if you buy one of the condos, which boasts spacious modern interiors designed to maximize the natural sunlight flowing into each home.
That's exactly the way the real estate people write that stuff.
You'll also get the free avocado toast or any other comparable breakfast option for a year from a local restaurant.
If you lived here, you'd be eating avocado toast now.
Mm-hmm. And then one more story, and it has a happy ending, but it's pretty scary. A father in Australia fought off several dingoes after his toddler son was locked in the jaws and dragged by one of the wild dogs. This is a few weeks ago. The 14-month-old was dragged by the back of his neck and suffered a fractured skull and deep cuts on his head from the attack. That's horrible. The family was asleep in their camper van when a dingo entered somehow or another and grabbed the child. His parents...
Oh my God.
The dingo's got my baby!
Okay, we're on a loop now.
That's a good song.
Men Down Under?
Men
at Work.
Men at Work.
Yeah.
His parents woke up when they heard the child screaming.
The dingo's got the baby!
And the sound.
God, no, please, God, no.
And the sound moved further away. The dad got out to investigate and found the dingo dragging the toddler away. He also spotted several other dingoes near the vicinity. Oh, my God. He immediately ran up and dragged his son and chased off some of the dingoes. The boy was airlifted to a hospital on Australia's mainland and is now conscious and stable. I don't know his current condition, but that is terrifying.
Freaking dingoes.
Yeah.
The dingoes got my baby.
Goddamn dingoes. Goddamn dingoes. Remember dingo daycare?
Yes!
Yes. We take your baby, but we give it back.
Yeah, we'll take your baby.
We'll take your baby,
but we'll give it back.
Yes.
We Dingo Daycare.
They need to rename it, though, because Dingo does not sound very... Like, it's scary.
Dingo.
You're adorable. They are actually just little smaller pack dogs.
Yeah, but they are the thing.
Yeah.
They run in packs, and they're pretty fierce. They're,
Dingo.
I'm a dingo.
Yeah. So there you go. That's your bizarre file for you. All right. Let's get a winner. Kathy's secret text number. I need a caller, please.
8.
Caller number 8 at 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you can win. You need to know the secret text word in order to win that. So get on the phone, and let's see if you can pass step 1 and be the 8th caller. We'll be back in a moment with more. Stay with us.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
10 o'clock exactly on a Wednesday morning. Our week is certainly inching by, but we'll get to Friday before you know it. Giving away our Word of the Week prize then, but in the meantime, we have a different prize to give away. We were looking for the 8th caller, and I'm going to go to the 8th caller and see if we can find out our word. Okay, let's go to Nick. Hi, Nick. How you doing? Nick, if you're calling number 8, if you know the secret text word, I'm going to give you a prize. What is it?
Socks.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That is correct. Hang on, Nick. I'm going to get your information. I was confused because it says STW socks, and I was like, what the hell does that mean?
Secret text word.
Socks. Okay, right. I got you. All right, so Nick got it right. We're going to give him tickets to see this gentleman performing. Willie Nelson and Family.
A legend.
At the Outlaw Music Festival. And another great musician, Bonnie Raitt, and another great band, Government Mule, just to name a few. September 13th at The Man. Tickets are on sale Friday at 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster.com. We get the same prize for Kenny Torres, who is from Morristown, New Jersey. So congrats. You're going to get those tickets. So I love this song.
Yeah.
Hey, how can you not?
It's a great song. All right. We are going to move on to today's lesson question. And today, for that, let me see what we're going to give away. Tickets to the and some free food at the Food Truck Craze Cinco Bash, which is coming up May 4th and 5th outside of the Oaks Expo Center. Question. Let's do a food-oriented question. All right. Then I love this one. What do they make with the olives byproducts after the production of the olive oil? 215-263-WMMR. Very random, very bizarre.
True.
What do they make with the olives byproducts after the production of the olive oil? 215-263-WMMR. If you were listening earlier this morning, maybe you know. So you should therefore call in and see if you can win the prize. All right, we'll do the trash while you're calling.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by Primo Hoagies. Primo is celebrating National Hoagie Day on Monday, May 6th. Rewards members get a great-tasting Primo-sized Italian turkey and cheese or ham and cheese for only $5.99. Details and locations at PrimoHoagies.com. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Oprah Winfrey admitting in an interview that she hasn't flown commercial in years after she purchased her own G4 jet for $28 million. Still, Oprah says she's growing tired of flying and is looking into a service that actually brings the destinations to her.
Yeah.
Jersey Shore star Vinny Guadagnino, I guess that's how it's pronounced, telling Hollywood Life that his friend and castmate Mike, the Situation Sorrentino, has been an inspiration while serving time in prison. Guadagnino says Sorrentino has been studying around the clock so he can finally get his diploma from kindergarten.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Kylie Jenner gifting her husband Travis Scott with a $280,000 Lamborghini for his 28th birthday. Kylie says Scott spent the whole day sitting out in the driveway yelling, vroom, vroom. And that's your Hollywood trip.
All right, let's go to the phone and see if somebody knows the answer to this. What do they make with the olives byproducts after the production of olive oil? And I'll go to Ed. Hey, Ed.
Hey, Preston.
Yo, bud. So what do they make out of the olives byproducts after making olive oil?
Marbles.
They make them into marbles. Hold on, Ed. We are going to give you a pair of tickets and some free food at the Food Truck Craze Cinco Bash. And it's May 4th and 5th outside at the Expo Center, the Oaks Expo Center. Over 30 food trucks, axe throwing, zip lining, oversized inflatable games, live music, margaritas, and more. Tickets are on sale at foodtruckcraze.com. Let us do the music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
And this morning, Music News brought to you by Chorus Photography, the official photographers of the Preston and Steve Show. I only have two stories for you. That's
what the hell?
It's short on Music News today. Guns N' Roses are among the acts who will perform at the 2019 Austin City Limits Music Festival in the Texas Capitol. And this will mark GNR's first show in Austin since 1993 and the first ever Austin City Limits Festival appearance. You don't really think of them as an Austin City Limits type of band.
I know they love bats. So
yeah, they have them all fly out of that cave, right?
No, the bridge.
Oh, the bridge.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So maybe that's the motivation.
That's probably the motivation.
Playing the show. Other acts on the bill include Mumford & Sons, The Raconteurs, The Cure, Billie Eilish, Radiohead's Tom York, Childish Gambino, Cardi B, Robin, Casey Musgraves, Gary Clark Jr., Lizzo, Third Eye Blind, Foo Fighters. No, I'm sorry, Chris Shiflett from the Foo Fighters.
Oh.
And more. And some acts will just play one of the festival's two weekends. The 18th annual Austin City Limits Music Festival will take place October 4th through the 6th and the 11th through the 13th at Zilker Park in Austin, Texas. Tickets are on sale now at aclfestival.com.
I have been, and it's fun. It's a cool, really, really cool city. And, you know, my wife and I ended up renting a little bed and breakfast, rented some bikes, and so we rode to the park and all that, and we had a really, really wonderful time. Unfortunately, the third day got rained out. I mean, it actually got flooded out. Big old Texas thunderstorm came, you know, rolling through.
And the bats got wet.
Yeah, bats. No, they didn't. They were under the ridge.
Okay. So is this like a festival show where it's one big location, one ticket, and you get to see multiple stages?
Yeah, yeah. They have four or five stages.
I always hear about a lot of club gigs that are going on.
Yes, around happening. The periphery.
Well, so what ended up happening when I went, because that Sunday got rained out, a lot of those acts ended up going and doing smaller clubs that night. So Tom York was in a band with, I think, Flea, and they called themselves Adams for Peace, and they ended up getting the biggest club in that area. But there are, I guess, a lot of ancillary things going on outside of the actual park. But the park is huge.
Okay.
And, you know, and The Cure was there as well when I went. And so they had The Cure on one stage and Muse on another.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're The Cure. You're the disease.
Right.
And we're The Cure.
Yeah.
Tell me.
But also Depeche Mode. Like, so yeah, while you wouldn't necessarily think Guns N' Roses.
Personal Jesus.
You wouldn't necessarily think Guns N' Roses is a festival band. The way they, you know, book these events is, you know, if Guns N' Roses isn't your thing, they're going to be on one main stage, and they sort of stagger the times just a little bit.
How main is the main stage? What is the audience for that main stage?
We're tens of thousands.
Tens
of
thousands, okay. Of thousands.
And
I did not know that.
So, wait, I forget. Where did you put this? So,
it's in the trash.
So, they will have two main acts at the same time that are, I think, textually just a little bit different, and okay. But they will stagger the time. So let's say one main act will start at 9:30 and another one will start at 10. Whoa. You'll be able to check out both.
Are we seeing at an overhead picture of the event area? That's gigantic.
Is that an empty field or those people in
that's
there?
That's people, dude.
Are there green people?
No,
that's the grass.
That's the grass.
What is that?
And then the more reddish color
would be the people.
Would be the people. And here's the steeple.
It's the steeple.
Look at all of
the people.
Yeah.
And here are the bats.
There are bats in the steeple.
Wow, that's many acres.
Hang on, Marissa.
Yeah, Casey, that's a tip I learned. It took me actually years to learn, was that whenever these festivals happen, all the bands book smaller shows around the area. So Lollapalooza, all over Chicago, they were doing Jazz Fest in New Orleans. Like, they'll play until like 3 o'clock in the morning, and that one's cool because it ends at 8, and then you'll go to like Tipitina's at 3 o'clock in the morning, and Jack White is playing with like the Allman Brothers or something like that. But so wherever you're going to a festival, check and see what the ancillary shows are that are all around, because they're really cool, and people, the bands will join other bands.
Cool. All right. One last story. Angels and Airwaves, the band led by former Blink-182 singer and guitarist Tom DeLonge, has returned with a new song and dates and venues for its first tour in 7 years. The tune called Rebel Girl is the band's first new music in 3 years, and it's the lead track from an upcoming Angels and Airwaves album and featured film project. Tom said, Rebel Girl is a space-age love song.
What
is
the song? They come from space. No, they don't come from here.
There's already a song called Space Age Love Song.
That's right.
Flock of Seagulls.
And I love that song.
It's a great tune. He said it's a Space Age Love Song that combines my enduring obsession for new wave, pop punk, and anthemic rock and roll music.
I hooked up with a bridesmaid to that song.
Nice. As some of you might have heard, I recently took a brief minute to start up an aerospace company, so you never know. I may play this song from a satellite deep in space, beamed toward everyone's house, viciously on repeat. Angels and Airwaves will take Rebel Girl on the road as they launch a North American headlining tour. Tickets go on sale this Friday, May 3rd at noon local time, and they will be in Philadelphia. Going to be playing the Fillmore September 14th.
So, do we have the original Space Age Love Song in there?
We don't.
Bitch.
Sing it for me? I don't remember.
In a little while, I was falling in love. Bing, 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 bing. It's a great song.
Yeah, I assume that's the guitar part.
It is.
No, that's the guitar part.
That's him singing.
Why are you saying diggity ding? I just wandered over from the Cure
stage. See, now you'll know it. You will absolutely know it. Oh, Marissa's working on it.
Right.
So,
right.
Let me solo it for a minute.
Okay.
Was it just the one guy in the band?
What is that?
I can pull up YouTube on this.
Wait, was that she was a dancer?
No, it wasn't. Oh, maybe it was.
It was. Casey's pulling this up now. Live. I love this song.
Great song.
Let me know when you recognize it, if you do indeed, Casey, because I would think that you would know this. Wasn't as big as Iran, which was their big, big hit.
Yeah. What movie is this from?
Nothing. That was the part I was singing. Man, the 80s were fun.
Yeah.
We're looking at the video right now. Oh, it's the movie where they're trapped in a Target for the night, Steve. Stunningly Beautiful.
Yeah. Is that from here?
Yes and no. This just sounds like 1982 to me. But
this is kind of the hook part of it. It looks like it's not ringing a bell to you. Okay, well, this is Space Age Love Song.
It's actually better than Iran.
Yeah, I'm watching the video, and the guy, I guess, that's in the movie is the dude from Pulp Fiction.
It's Frank Wally. Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Brett. Career opportunities. What is it?
That's
Brett.
It.
Check out the big brain on Brett. Brett.
Big brain on Brett. Yeah, he's been in lots of stuff. So Career Opportunities was the name of this song, the movie, and the song is
Space Age Love
Space
Song.
Space Age Love Song.
How do we get here?
Black as Eagles.
There's another band?
Yes.
Okay.
Angels and Airwaves.
That's it.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
They're playing the Fillmore. Guns N' Roses and Bats.
And Jennifer No, what's
that's
her
not
name?
Jennifer Connelly.
Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah, Jennifer Connelly.
That's yes, Jennifer Connelly.
Jennifer Connelly.
Stunningly beautiful.
Yeah. Especially in that movie. She rides a one of those
mechanical horse.
Mechanical horses.
Not a bucking yeah. horse, like a kid's
ride. In a t-shirt.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Okay, 80s flashback on 93.3 WMMR. With that, music news is done, and we are going to take a break. And we'll come back in a second. We'll get the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize when we return. Stay with us.
Activate. The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Wrapping up for the day. Had an enjoyable day on the program. Hey, I'd like to reiterate a re-announcement that we made today because we mistakenly made it yesterday. The I Believe for President Steve Blood Drive is coming up for this year on June 15th. It's a Saturday. We always do it on a Saturday. And we'll be back at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center. We're returning to that location for this year's. And we want to break the record. We didn't even know that we were close in breaking a national record in the largest blood drive. And we found out not that long ago, just a month or two ago, that we were within, like, inside of 20 pints away from the biggest blood drive in the country.
It could have simply, and a lot of that on that day, if people had just shown up and maybe weren't, you know, a little bit light and iron or yeah. whatever, we could have easily taken it. But that's the way it breaks.
It is. And so we never really, like, with the Camp Out for Hunger, we never set goals. We never say we want this much. But you know what? We've decided this time around for the blood drive, we want the biggest one in the country. Because if we're right on the edge of doing it, we can do it. And with your help, it will be done. WMMR.com for the details, eligibility guidelines, and scheduling your appointment. So that is available now. So go to WMMR.com. All the details are right there. And read those eligibility guidelines. You may have traveled somewhere. You may have taken a medication. You may have done something that will disqualify you from donating. And we'd hate for you to show up, number one, and waste your time. And number two, take a slot where somebody could have been there for it. So if you would do that, we would appreciate it. And it's from the American Red Cross Blood Services Region and 93.3 WMMR. We are, before we get into, well, you know, real quick, let me thank Lewis Black for being on the show. Lewis Black is performing at the Borgata Music Box October 11th and 12th. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. It was great to talk to him. And our buddy Vinny Brand was on. The Pete Davidson controversy. We broke that wide open with
Pete Gate.
Yeah, Pete Gate. No, he and Pete had an issue, and Pete canceled the show last second and everything. And so Vinny kind of spoke his piece, and now it's the ball is in Pete's court, I guess.
Yes.
So anyhow, it was nice to have him on the air. Hey, we're saying goodbye to two of our faithful helpers this morning. I didn't even know until like 5 minutes
no,
ago.
No, this sucks. All right. Dead moose.
So a couple of our interns are, they've run their course and they are moving on. So we have both Adrian and Felicia here.
Yeah.
Who we are saying goodbye to. So let's go one at a time. Felicia, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I'm sad.
I know. Well, we're sad too. We are. When did you start interning with the President and Steve Show?
The beginning of September.
Okay, so nice. September, so not that long ago. I mean, some can stick around for, you know, a while, and others have to come in and out. Where do you go to school?
I go to Arcadia.
All right, and what are you studying?
Communications.
Okay, all right. What do you want to, get into this line of work, or was this just something to get some experience?
It was to get experience in kind of everything, because I'm not completely sure what I want to do yet.
Okay. You said there's a focus, though, on perhaps journalism and that aspect of writing scripts and copy and things of that nature?
Yes, I really like writing.
Okay.
That's where I want to head into.
All right.
Hey, just a little word of advice. You don't have to know right now, you know?
Thank you.
So
yeah,
don't put a whole ton of pressure on yourself.
That's what this is all about, right?
You're very, very young. And,
are you sure you don't want to be like a boxing ring announcer that announces the fights or something like that? Because you've really got the voice for that.
You don't want that.
Yeah, just quiet. But listen, you don't have to be the talking head like we are when you get into this business. There's lots of jobs.
Are you ready to rumble?
Yeah. There are lots of jobs in this industry. Have you made some friends while you've been here?
I did.
Excellent.
I made friends with everybody.
That's nice. Very good. All right. And then
Hang on, I got one thing for her.
Bye, Felicia.
There you go.
Bye, Felicia. I wasn't even gonna say it. You're probably sick of that, right?
I hear it a lot.
So we got bye, Felicia. And then we got Yo Adrian, if you want to throw something out for our next one. Adrian has been here for how long?
Since
We started on the same day.
Is that no right?
Kidding? Fun fact, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And Adrian works a lot. You've been worked in our video department.
Yeah.
With Nick Murphy.
Yes.
And has that been fun?
That has been fun. I was just saying earlier to my mom, I was like, I feel like I got away with something having this experience, like too great. Good, you know?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And what Daily Rush videos stand out that you've worked on that we would know? Because, I mean, we have tons of them that have gone up.
I think my first month here, there was so many things. I think the Rizzo ones, I was here for a lot of the Rizzo
ones. Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah, Rizzos were popular. Yeah.
And a couple of the Manthi ones. Okay. Sorry.
Nice. And was it you that we learned the term sliding into my DL from? Or was that? Yeah, that was. That's
DMs,
what I thought.
DMs.
Your DM, I'm sorry, DL. The
your DSLs.
your DSL.
I love sliding into DSLs, man.
Nothing quite like that sensation.
It's awesome.
Is your mom listening right now?
She will be later.
Oh, boy.
She will be later.
What, edit this part
what do you? What do you want to do? Is video a career for you?
It is. I mean, I'm at Temple for Film, Film and Media Arts, graduating in 2 weeks or 1 week. Oh, you know what? I think it's like 1 week.
There you go.
God.
Low pressure.
I have so many interests that it's actually hard to figure out what to do after 17 consecutive years of schooling. You kind of need to take a breather. So I definitely want to do something still visually with photography, video, storytelling, but like I'm not sure what capacity yet.
Okay.
Are you doing the right thing? Again, Whitman, sample everything, see what really rocks your world. You may get into something and find, and you know, I'm going to try this other path. But what you make some kick-ass popcorn, by the way. She and her mom have a little popcorn side business, which I've purchased my share of popcorn.
Yeah, do you want to float the name of that?
Sure. It's Rosie's Kettle Corn. It's spelled exactly how it sounds. We have an Instagram, we have a website, and we launched out of our hometown last September, and we have a slew of events all over Chester County going all summer. So
it's really good stuff.
Thank Rosie's you. Kettle Corn.
Rosie's Kettle Corn. Yeah.
All right, cool. And we'll see you. You're going to be at Keenan's.
Yeah, I'll be at Keenan's.
All right, so you're not completely flying the
coop.
No,
I'll never really leave. I'll make sure that I stay relevant.
All right, cool. All right, let's hear it for Adrian and Felicia.
Yeah!
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for your support, and we can't do it without these guys. There's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that goes on that needs to get done, and it's there's no way we'd be able to do it. It's too much work.
Absolutely.
And hopefully, we're giving a little bit of experience to these guys, and they can get out into the working world and pursue their dreams. Just like the gentleman who is stepping in next, he's pursued his dream.
Yep.
And look at him soar.
Started as a blacksmith.
Yep. And now he's moved on to middays at WMMR. And you're going to go on that mic.
Yeah, they don't have to leave that way.
All right. Good. How you doing, Pierre?
Fine, thank you.
Wonderful.
You started as an intern, right?
I did.
Yeah, KSAM?
Yeah, in San Francisco. And then one day they needed someone to run the tape for Dr. Demento.
Dr. Demento.
Which we ran on Sunday evenings. And I did everything. I fetched coffee for the DJs. I loaned them money. I had no money. They never had any money. They said, could you spare me $10? I got to get a cab to get up to the Mission District. Yeah, sure. Here you go. I'd buy them food. I'd file records. I spent nights there. I was there 24 hours a day oftentimes. And they never paid me back. But anyway, one night I was listening across town on the overnight show, and the DJs, have I told you the story? Probably. I've told every story 17 times, but it's sometimes fun to hear them for the 18th
time. Sure.
This guy named Lobster was the evening DJ.
Lobster?
Yeah. Those were the days where all stations had 4-hour shifts, so it was 10 to 2 and 2 to 6. So it's about 3 a.m., and he goes, the overnight guy hasn't come in. And I just called him on the hotline. I go, what's going on? Just curious. He goes, what are you doing? I go, just hanging out. He goes, get over here. You're going on. That's how I went on.
Hey, that's how, I mean, very, very similar how I got my first on-air shift.
Wow.
I can't remember. The guy's last name was
Lobster.
Mark, but he was the Saturday night overnight guy. And he, like, stepped down on a Friday. And Jim McGuinn was like, hey, what are you doing Saturday? I was like, whatever you need me to do. And that was that.
Wow.
And I got my first gig that way.
So exciting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fun stuff.
Sometimes they throw you right into the fire, man.
Oh, yeah.
You just got to do it. So, well, that's cool. How about we get that letter first of all? Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
R as in radiate.
All right. We are going to give away a Valencia model foosball table from Olhausen Billiards valued at $1,235. And that's from Royal Billiard and Recreation. Your ultimate game room store. They're having their annual store-wide sale. It's not too far from where I live. I love going by.
Oh, really?
Place.
Yeah.
Oh, they have so much cool stuff there. It's May 3rd through the 5th that this sale is going on, and you can stock up on fun at Royal Billiard and Recreation. You can visit royalbilliard.com for details. What's happening on today's radio show?
Well, I brought the thing I forgot yesterday.
Oh.
Which was the thing which would have applied for the day before.
Oh, yeah. On your show, yeah.
Yeah, shall we? Can I play it for you?
Please.
Yeah, it's in Channel 1 here, Preston.
So yesterday in music news, I think it was when you were talking about Woodstock being canceled, and although the promoters are saying maybe it's not, but it doesn't look good. MMR, I went to Woodstock 94 and 99. MMR had an ad in the program for the original Woodstock in 1969 and ran commercials for it. And I have in the system here a commercial that is out of its mind.
Okay. Because I'm not familiar with how they promoted that show. I mean, you got, 400,000 people to come out to this event. I thought most of it was just word of mouth. But I guess they did advertising campaigns?
Yeah, because you listen to the beginning of this, and the DJ, Dave Herman, our first DJ, I think, said in a couple of months from now. And
okay.
And so if you – he might – no, I don't think he talks about the prices. I think it was $7 for one day.
Yep, yep.
$10 for 2 days.
And it's maybe astonishing.
$19 for a three-day pass. Oh, wow. Something like that, which you couldn't get a beer for now.
Right.
But but what is notable about this commercial is the ultimate hippie spaciness of it.
Okay.
It sounded like he had been into the cellar and smoked a few before recording this.
Here we go.
If you want to look ahead a few months to August – such a tremendous thing that'll be happening up in Woodstock, New York. I hope you'll be able to join us to see the band amidst rolling hills in beautiful upstate New York, to spend a gentle moment with the Moody Blues, apple orchards and iron butterfly, streams and the Creedence Clearwater Revival, clean skies and the Led Zeppelin, bonfires and beautiful Laura Nero. I will go picnicking with Sly and the Family Stone and dig Tim Harden on a giant Ferris wheel. Canned heat under a setting sun.
Wow.
Richie Havens while you chew on a kosher hot dog. Watch the contemporary art show under the trees. It's the first celebration of the Aquarian Age, and it'll happen in Woodstock, New York. A memorable weekend. August 16th and 17th, a Saturday and a Sunday. The Jefferson Airplane will be there to take off in the Hudson Valley. And we'll go camping with Janis Joplin. Blood, sweat, and tears and 300 acres
of
grass.
Okay.
300 acres of grass.
Grass.
Is ending. But the idea...
You have to have Bowser.
Yeah, right. The idea, you'll go camping with Janis Joplin.
Yeah.
Sure you will.
I see what he was doing. It was it was nice. Yeah. I get it, but it was very true.
The mellow sounds of Iron Butterfly. I mean, the way he was juxtaposing these, hippie image, out in the woods vibes with bands that sometimes...
Led Zeppelin!
With the Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of those bands never showed, like the Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
I don't know if the band was on there or not. Some of the bands he references, I don't think, actually made the gig, but this was a couple of months in advance. That message is that commercial is so spacey.
It is.
He doesn't even tell you about tickets and how to get them or where to pursue them if you were to get them. We have another more straight one that has the ticket prices and the outlandish prices of $7 for one day ticket.
Wow.
And so there it is.
Cool, man.
That's pretty wild.
I played that for you yesterday, but I'm playing it for, MMR's 51st birthday was Monday, and that's a cool birthday moment.
Nice. I love it. Excellent. All right. Let me take a moment to thank our sponsors.
On my program today.
Oh, I thought that was weird. Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Workforce Blocks of the Who and Pearl Jam and Todd Rundgren.
All right, very good. And I want to thank Dunkin', the official coffee of the President and Steve Show. The President and Steve Show runs on Dunkin' and also Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport. And Planet Fitness, get the Planet Fitness Black Card, and you can bring a workout buddy with you every single visit. Tomorrow on the program, this is great, always having our in-studio guest, John Lovitz.
Yes.
He'll be in tomorrow morning.
Love him.
And we will be talking to the one and only Dennis Quaid tomorrow morning.
Wow. Yeah, he's got a new movie coming out.
Pretty and commercials. Cool.
He's playing a lunatic. Yeah,
his commercials are great.
I love them, yeah. So those things and more, that's it. We are done. Rage on and have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Greston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
I tricked my brother into getting married at the Cornwood Classic in a Cornwood Wedding Chapel.
Next message.
It's hump day. I'm going to hump my desk because I don't understand the rules of it.
Next message.
Hey, job. Do you even know what this word heel means? Have you ever taken your driver's test or did you just... Oh, it's okay. I can drive. Because you don't have the right of way. Do not test me.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.